Okay, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And I've got Don on the line. Are you there, Don?
Oh, I'm here.
Are we on now?
We're on.
Oh, yeah. Have I got my 14 listeners tonight? I better have 14, and I don't want no fakes, you know. So anyhow, this is Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. A little bit of fellowship in the background, little energy. So we had a real interesting evening. And tonight we're going to talk about the nuclear receptor, and I'm going to answer a few questions that have been emailed me over the week. But I've been working since 2 o'clock this afternoon, Don. I started to do a show with Paul Allen, the Microsoft guy, on his network about a year ago with Martin Sargent. It was on G4 Tech TV. It was called Unscrewed. It was a really hot show. I had a lot of my celebrity friends up there. But they decided to go another route, so they closed the show down after 5 or 6 episodes with me on it. They did it for about 18 months, but it was really taking off. But we didn't do any TV for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, a show came. So we're working on a new show now. It'll be on nationwide TV this time. We're in, you know, like the 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock time. And it's called Martin Sargent Web Searcher. And they did 2 episodes. There was two shootings. One was up in the Bay Area for a guy that supposedly had invented some jewelry that's got magnets and stuff and it makes you gives you immortality. And I guess he's quite a funny guy. He lives in a kind of a ghetto in San Francisco, but he's made so much money with his company that he owns a bunch of mansions. He just doesn't live in them. He's kind of a strange guy. And then, of course, there's a stranger guy, and that's me. So we came down here, and they came down here today, and they filmed from 2 o'clock until just a few minutes ago. In fact, they were just wrapping up their cameras when you guys were wrapping up your show, about 20, 30 minutes into it, you know, towards the end. Then I had to read, but the interesting thing was this. In this living room, we're out of vortex, as a lot of my listeners know, anybody that's read my book. Interesting was this, you know, we have a Stargate system in this living room. It's been here quite a while. It involves the radiator systems. It involves a lot of the Pleiadian technology. It involves a bunch of laser technology and certain sounds that we use. And we've had a couple of episodes in here that have been kind of drastic. We had one episode where Brad Steiger, the author, you know who Brad is, right, Don?
I actually do, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, his wife, Sherry, was back in her single days. I actually dated her a couple times, long before Brad even met her. And she came over here, and we had the Stargate open in the afternoon. We never knew when it would open. And there's a place over by the fireplace there. You haven't been here, your brother's been. We saw what it did to your brother just walking in here. You know, Don used to have a twin brother.
Yeah, and now he's a head case.
Yeah. So anyway, that was after my living room, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, just Don doesn't lie. I mean, it's true. You know?
He did. He went over to Fred Bell's place, and his head started spinning, and he got headaches from all the pyramidal energy, or whatever they call it, torsion waves, because you got so many...
Taylor waves, yeah.
So many crystals and pyramids, and my brother came back, and within a week, he had a Kundalini experience.
That's what happened. So these are big, tall units. They're about 6 feet tall, and there's 4 of them, and they're called irradiators, and they're really powerful on that vortex. We actually created lightning bolts with them before and hit a guy's house. That's a story that's in my book, I believe. Yeah, it's in my book. You can read about it there. So anyway, you got to understand what a film crew was like. You've got a cameraman who's fairly religious, fairly nice. You can tell by his build that he's probably somewhat a vegetarian, but... His girlfriend's from Russia, very beautiful woman, young girl from Russia. Then we had another cameraman who looked like Howard Stern when he was younger. And then we had, and he smoked cigarettes. And then the producer, of course, this is, you know, the producer, Paul Block, he's a typical Hollywood producer, a big smoker, you know, big Hollywood longtime producer kind of guy. So he's... His vibe is tobacco and probably a few drinks occasionally and probably a lot of meat. Then you have Martin Sargent himself, who's about 6 foot tall, blue-eyed, very fair-skinned, very high guy. Also, a little bit drinking and eats meat, but I mean, he's just naturally a high guy. He's really a high frequency guy. Girls just freak out on him because he's really good looking. Mary Carey's in love with him, by the way. That's that girl that ran for governor. And then we had a few others down here doing various chores. The backup cameraman, he smoked. So imagine the vibe, you know what I mean, Don? And you bring those kind of people in your house and you don't wear shoes and you don't have tobacco and you don't have alcohol in your house, you don't have drugs in your house, and it's a big temple, it's on top of a mountain, and all this heavy energy comes in. Imagine what that's like.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So anyhow, they come down, they film some of the cars that I drive because they're semi-collectors and classics. And then they come in, and we did some interviews with the Pyramid on the Head, some muscle testing, and they look at the pictures of some Yahtzee and some all the, you know, it's like a museum in here. It's a lot of stuff. So it took them to my studio. We went down, played a little music, do the normal routine that we do around here. And we got up, was waiting for the sun to set to get the Stargate fired up. Now, the big thing on this show is to get the Stargate, you know, and that's a big order. You know, when I got that vibe to deal with, I said, this is going to be really interesting for two reasons. One, I've had two seminars here. I always have them in May. They always fill up by February. They're sold out. This one's starting to go pretty good now. So we had the seminar last May. We had the seminar the May before. Now, when people come to my seminar, they're typically not. There's a few smokers. Sometimes a few band people, some rock stars, a movie star, you know, we get that glitzy people. And then we get, you know, housewives and doctors and dentists and people from Australia and all over the world come. And you've got to put there a pretty light, high, airy consciousness people. They're not heavy anything, usually. They're pretty light to spend the kind of money you do to get here and stay here for a week or so. Because it's about a week sojourn by the time you get here. Two times in a row, we've had them in the 2 years in a row, we've been up here in this living room. And that Stargate would not open. It did not open. The last time it opened was one of my girlfriends who was a friend of Xenia Seberg, that actress that you have up on your website from Lex. And Xenia had an experience here. This other girl, went out, and we thought we were going to have to... No, it was Xenia that went out. I think it was Xenia that went out. She went out so far that we almost had to... Yeah, it was Xenia Seberg. She went out so far, it was about 3 years ago, I had another doctor here, and we almost had to call 911 because it just took her out. There's this place over there by the fireplace underneath. You know that picture that's on my website with the angel flying out of it? You know that? You've seen that one, right? Down in the it's up on the ceiling. It's called a champagne reflector.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, that was taken by, those of you who haven't heard or seen it, it was taken by a photographer who goes down to the Queen Mary and films... you know, haunted spirits and that. He came over from Germany. He's a musician, and he's a really good photographer, and he captured this one time when the gate was open. So anyway, it doesn't open much. It hasn't been open in a few years. So we get going. I get the music up. I get the stage going to sanctify the area. And you got to understand that when you're in a room, your body gives off amino acids. And these amino acids will stick into the building over a period of time. So if you sanctify the area and you raise the vibration up and you see something that comes, it's some spirit that's in that frequency that you sanctified the room to that will clothe themselves with those amino acids that people have left in the walls from their body emission. And that's called ectoplasm, and you can pull a form down and maybe see them. And sometimes if you can really pull it down, you can communicate with them, but that's not too often. So we have all that going in here tonight, and I had no idea. There's this one area when this laser starts, it starts putting out a tunnel of energy. And that when that tunnel starts spinning in the room, if you look up in it, it's kind of an interesting effect. It can pull you into it pretty quick. Well, I had a camera back on the... I said that the two areas that the gate opens is always where these two lasers, the focal point. There are two different points in the room. It usually opens in this area. And then I didn't tell them where to go to get the experience, right? I said earlier in the evening, I had said something about the fireplace, but I didn't really, that's kind of closer to the lasers underneath them. And so Martin is in there, and he's over there by the show starts. We start playing one of my albums, Atlantis Rising. We're about 20 minutes, I can feel the energy really kicking in the room, and I'm like, what is going on here? These smokers, these gross people are in here, and this place is kicking tonight. Better than my seminar with people that don't smoke or cigarettes and anything, you know. Everybody, of course, had their shoes off. That was good. They left them off. And some of them Matter of fact, the producer's wife just yesterday, for some strange reason, says we're not wearing shoes in our house anymore. So I think the energy's spreading around Southern California. Martin picked up on the energy of that laser, got out of the laser, the Stargate opened in the first time in 3 years, and this six-foot guy, not on drugs, alcohol, or nothing, went down, man. He went down at the fireplace. He did some Kundalini stuff, and he went out of his body out in the gate. And he came in here totally skeptical to do these grounded TV shows, and he left. And he was out for about 10 minutes, and the gate was open, and the whole film crew, they filmed it. So it might be on national TV if the series goes, filming him. He wasn't faking it. He was gone, and he was gone good. And when he came back, he made a comment. He saw this extraterrestrial, he said. He'd never seen one before. He gave her the likeness of a Greta Van Susteren, which I thought was kind of, I thought he was kidding because he's somewhat of a comedian, but he wasn't kidding. And he had this 15-minute experience in the Stargate tonight. And so it's been like 3 years, so two seminars and nothing happened. And so I know with that, I was blown away. These smokers running around, all this is going on, and this guy is gone. And when he came back about 15 or 20 minutes later, he sat up. He was fine. He had no side effects. He got up and said, wow. He's just like, he couldn't believe it. We got it all on camera. He wasn't faking it, you know. And So I was impressed. I guess the old Stargate energy is back, which is good. I haven't seen it work that good in 3 years, so it blew me away. And in fact, if you were smoking and all this stuff, people were in the room, it didn't matter. They all felt it, but they weren't in the area where Martin was. You know, he was in this one area, but they knew something was going on. It got really quiet in here, except for the music that was going, which is pretty intense. So I don't know. We had a Stargate gate open here tonight, and it was kind of funny because they were kind of skeptically teasing me about it all day. Well, that's what we're here for. Well, it happened. I thought that was cool, huh, Don?
You know, that's quite a story.
Yeah, so now the producer wants to talk to us next week, as I told you before the show. So,
amazing.
Yeah, this is some real credibility here. Now, so anyway, what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about the nuclear receptor, because I've got a lot of people asking about that and what it does and how it works, and people don't quite understand it yet, and it's a very necessary tool. And if you click on the blog and service website on the receptor, it takes you an article that Sean David Morton wrote about it. But the nuclear receptor was a Pleiadian device that came here from Semyasi a long time ago. And the reason it was brought here is this. The growth-resistant generation has put a vibration since Atlantis sunk 12,000 years ago in the scalar wave warfare of Poseidon, which is off the coast of Florida. When this warfare occurred, it left a very negative vortex in this world. The average life expectancy of human beings up until about 12,000 years ago was close to 450 years. 375 was not considered, you know, really old. It was getting close. 450 was kind of getting old, and maybe 600 might be like grandfather time or something. After we had the scalar warfares, it set up three vortexes of negative energy. One of them was in the Bermuda Triangle, and there's two other Bermuda Triangles. One's in the Philippines, and one's off the coast of China somewhere, that have all the same things, the same effects go in, where you have stepping through slide zones, physical objects ejected into space, such as some of the old World War II aircraft that disappeared in there, and they were found later by NASA in orbit. So these kinds of things happen. And what that did is it created an auric field around the Earth that has a tendency to despiral our DNA. And I had said, you probably heard me say on earlier shows, when you're just before you're born, your body has 46 base pairs per turn, and your DNA, when you take your first breath of air and cut the umbilical cord, that is reduced to 34 base pairs per turn. And so a 46 is 100%, 34 is 75%. You lose 25% of your life when you take, you know, your life expectancy cellular-wise. When you take your first breath at 18 years old, you have 18 base pairs per turn. So you are actually two-thirds of your body is aged by your 18th birthday. You may not look like it or feel like it, but that's in fact what happens. By the time you're 50, if you don't do something about it, you've got six base pairs per turn. By the time you're 50, and when you're 30 years old, your organs start shrinking at the rate of 5% every 10 years. So that means at 30, if you have 100% organ size at 50, your organs have shrunk by 20%. By the time you're 60, they've shrunk 30%. And, of course, during that time, your body is filling up with toxins into your brain because the brain, the arterial size at the base of the brain where oxygen enters from your lungs is very large. By the time it gets to the forebrain, it's very small, millionths of an inch from a quarter of an inch. So you have a complete defilation of particles going on in your brain. This is the aging process. It's a stupid process. It's something that humans, if they would address it again, they could fix it, but they don't want to because people are too busy living a stupid life. So anyway, that's what happens. So the Pleiadians told me that one of the gifts they would give us back to mankind would be to reverse the aging order of our DNA. If you're a biochemist and have studied the aging of DNA, you would know different genes, and there's one gene called telomeres that is what's called a recessive gene, and that's the gene that scientists play around with the growth hormone process to try to slow down the aging process. But the bottom line is this. You cannot work with telomeres or anything in the DNA aging process and get any kind of results if you don't go inside the DNA into the intelligentsia of what the DNA is, which is what's called electrical precursing energy. Electrical precursing energy, of course, is stuff that works in those new wave, those life wave patches. It's something that Barry Sears talked about in his book that he wrote all about the aging process, and he's very there's several books written on this stuff. Barry Sears' book was called The Zone, and you know, you can get into a certain diet, exercise program, and you're in there and you just have infinite energy. You can stay up all night like Don and I do, and then function the next day like we sort of do. And you can do this for weeks. Getting in the zone. We do that, don't we, Don? On the website.
Well, I don't know about functioning the next day, but we get through somehow, don't we? Yeah.
We go to bed at daylight a lot of times, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, because we're working on these articles that I write and getting them posted. I run a business by the day, and I run my news and posting stuff at night. I have two lives here, and people just think that I just sit around and do one thing. No, I do two things. I run about 18 hours a day, and that's about 7 days a week. Saturday night, everybody else is out. I just did a television show. Now I'm on the air. When I get done here, I'll go to the Internet. Sunday, I'll be working on my show for Tuesday. And Monday, I got appointments all day long in Orange County. So that's kind of how it goes. So anyway, but I enjoy it. So anyway, because I use the stuff that I talk about. It gives me tremendous energy. So anyway, what happens is the Pleiadians showed us that you have to change the electrical energies of your body, which then changes the biochemistry, assimilation tendencies, the reception, rejection tendencies in the body, and also energy behind the electricity, which is the precursing energy itself, is measured on a 24/7, 365 basis, okay? And the way it works is very simple. Whatever, if you're in the mountains and you're listening to waterfalls and you're breathing negative ions in the trees, that's one set of energies. That's a very calming set of energies. If you're riding a subway in downtown Manhattan, New York, or Queens, or Brooklyn, or the Bronx, or somewhere, that's another kind of energy. If you're out in the streets where there's taxi cabs and policemen and people chasing and stuff each other, and they're by the airport with airplanes landing and taking off, that's another kind of energy. And that's basically negative and positive energies, depending on what you're doing. Well, that sets up a vibration in your DNA. And if it's more stressful, your body then has to build up a natural defense mechanism to protect you. There are some people, for example, that live in New York that when they go out into the country, you know, after living there all year, so it's like they fly over to Hawaii, they have to take a CD with them that has horns and stuff on it and listen to that at night because they can't sleep in the calm anymore. Their body, their defense mechanism won't come down long enough to allow them to breathe the nurturing energy that Hawaii offers unless they're there for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. The Japanese have a custom when you do business with them. They're aware of this. If you fly to Japan to do business, you will not be doing business for 3 days. They have a 3-day travel cooling off period that you go through so that you can get your clarity back. And when you do traveling like that, what happens is your astral body is left behind. It takes a while to catch up, so you don't even sleep properly. You don't know what your sleep cycle is. Another thing that happens is we got to understand how consciousness works in the body to understand the nuclear receptor. Your body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon is an atom. It's an octahedron. It's the shape energy. It's the director. It's the solid. The other three are gases. The oxygen atom animates the body. It's the atom of prana. And working with the hydrogen atom produces a balanced force called chi, or kundalini force. Okay, nitrogen atom is for building protein. You can make dynamite or protein out of it, depending on how you use that. And, of course, the carbon atom is what it is. And the hydrogen atom is the atom of consciousness. The atom of consciousness changes. In the morning when you wake up, the frequency of the hydrogen atom is that the electron is moving around the hydrogen, the nucleus of it, at a frequency up in the red, about 600 or 550 nanometers. It's a red frequency. It's the speed of light as we measure it. Now realize speed, there is no speed on light. Man has measured a speed of light because man has measured his ability to cognize light through a medium. So he's come up with a figure of 186,273 miles per second. That's only the rate of cognition. It's not the speed of light. Okay. So in the morning, the electron is dancing in the red frequency. The electron is 1,645 times lighter than the proton, so it moves a lot faster, and it stops and dances and stops and dances. And every time it stops, consciousness comes through. Then when it starts moving, nothing's happening. Then it stops, consciousness comes through. So basically, in the morning or any time that you're around, you don't have a continuity of consciousness. You've got a sporadic consciousness. So what is your focus point? Well, the focus point is when that atom stops. That electron stops for a millisecond or so, or a billionth of a millisecond, and vibrates. That's your interpretation, your massive, gross body made up of fat and protein and carbon atoms. Your gross vehicle is now getting a little bit of that light when that thing stops, and then it starts again, it turns you off. So your perception of time is continuous because you don't realize that there are huge gaps in the morning when that electron is dancing. And that dance is called the dance of Shiva. So when that electron stops, you get some input through the hydrogen atom. When it starts, you don't. So the starting and stopping process starts a pulsation in the neurons in your brain, which fires off synapses in your brain, but then creates electrical impulses through all the fat molecules in your body, and you call it the aura, and that's your aura of perception. And it activates a neurohormone set of proteins that are called hormones, primarily lysine and arginine would be the amino acids, and that gets you out of bed. That's called the will. So that's that red dancing atom, and the hydrogen atom dancing in the frequency of red, brings you from the sleep plane, wakes you up, gets you out of bed. That's your will. That's a feeling. It's a consciousness. Okay. Secondly, what happens is, let's say you got some child or some friend or something in the room. A little child comes up, like Don, one of his kids comes up to him and wants to say hi, Daddy, and stumbles on the bed and falls on the floor. Well, Don's going to feel like, damn, that poor kid, you know, I'm glad I didn't take that fall, but I feel sorry for the kid that just took the fall, but that's part of the growing process for the child. Well, that whole scenario, that's called compassion. That's caring. That's the energy of the solar plexus. That's a consciousness. So that now we've got two levels of consciousness. So that means now that Don woke up, or whoever it was woke up, they've gone from will, they're out of the bed, they're going to push themselves into what the daily routine is. They've observed another human being at this point, and that person had a little problem there, not a serious one, but a problem, and they felt now, not the energy to get going, but they now felt another person having a problem, going through a little suffering experience. That's okay, when that happened, the electron was no longer glowing red, it was now in the yellow spectrum, okay? So now the electron was in yellow, another nanometer frequency. The yellow spectrum of the body. And then let's say he gives his child a hug. I love you, you know. Hi, Daddy, I'm here. And you have a love exchange. That's blue. That's the heart chakra. Okay, that's another feeling. So there's three feelings, three levels of consciousness, because energy follows thought. So anytime you talk about levels of consciousness, you're really talking about feelings. That's all we have. When you learn to go transcendental, it's not what you're thinking, it's what you're feeling. Because the feeling is all about, all the thoughts come with the feelings. You don't cause the thoughts to create the feelings. It doesn't work that way. That's not calling be here now. The sexual feelings work that way. Violet. It's also the astral plane. It's a violet color. The thyroid, the intellect, thinking, feeling out in your thoughts what is real and what isn't. That's action to the thyroid. It's also money. It's green. when you guys were talking, that one person you had on there tonight talking about money, when you get in touch, and that when you get in touch with the third ray, the Holy Ghost, the female energy, then the money comes because you can feel it coming, or you can drive it away. You know, people say, and I have seen a lot of people that don't have any money say money's bad. Money's not bad. The lack of it might be, but you got to realize it's third ray. The first ray is called by the holy people. It's the ray of the Father. The second ray, which is blue, is the heart. You know, that's the sun. And the green ray is the Holy Ghost. So those are the three primary feelings. Then, of course, you have the compassion and the sex and all that. That's the four secondary feelings. In order to experience any of these, you have to have hormones physically put into your body. These hormones have to be released from the storage place in your body called endocrine glands. There are seven of them, one for each level of consciousness. They don't have spigots on them to make them release. They release by vibration, and that's the electrical precursing energy is the vibration. So if the vibration is wrong, the hormones never release. Then you also have a thing called metabolism, meaning that you might put all the amino acids in your body, create these hormones so that they're there for the feelings when they come. But if your body is poisoned by electrical ELF and all kinds of other things, and poisons in the planetary aura, you can't even assimilate the right ingredients. If we hand them to you in their raw, purest, rarest form, you can't assimilate them. So therefore, you're going to have deficiencies in your hormone structure. Deficiencies in the pituitary are quite common. There are seven major sets of hormones in the body that when you go deficient, you are said to be bipolar. So therefore, what modern medicine has done is come along and taken you, because your stress environment has made you bipolar or hormonally deficient or amino acid deficient. And so now what we do is we're going to say, as a drug company, we're going to give you a pseudo impression of the feeling you should be getting if you have lysine and arginine, which produces vasopressin. But we're not going to give you the amino acids. We're going to give you diapid, which you're going to squirt in your nose or take as a pill. Or we're going to give you Prozac, which you're going to take in, which is going to inhibit your monoamino oxidase. And you're going to think you feel good as long as you take our drug, because we're going to just put enough door up, enough stimulation in there to give you a little body rush. So you're going to think you're mentally, you're going to have an experience. You're going to have a little physical experience. And really what you've got is a destruction experience, because now your body no longer will metabolize at all, because the drug has just blocked your metabolism functions, and now you go into what's called total atrophy, atrophic deterioration of the endocrine system. And that's what the American Medical Association and drug companies are doing to you listeners worldwide if you're taking any form of mood elevation or bipolar drug. Bye-bye, because that's where you're going to go. And if you remember 30 days ago when I was on the show, when I talked about they're dosing people with higher drugs, I talked about and I wrote about the Tamiflu having cyclohexane in it, and what would happen if you took it. It's a poison. Well, they're killing kids now. It's on the website. Read about what I wrote 30 days ago on how they're going to start hurting people, giving them angel dust through the Tamiflu vibration or an inoculation. So now you begin to understand some of the problems that we have. Now, then you go to your store, you get down to the supermarket, and you walk in your store. Well, I'm going to the store and get some nutritional food. Yeah, right, nutritional food. First, I'll go to the hydroponic tomato department. You pick it up and you smell it, there's no smell. You better get garden vine-growing tomatoes. There's no smell in a hydroponic tomato. Oh, and by the way, what kind of poisons do they use on it today? Probably arsenic. Arsenic's one of their favorites for tomatoes. You go to the lettuce section, same thing. You go to pretty much anywhere in the produce section, the insecticides are incredible. So that's why you need some kind of organic. But now, the FDA got friendly with everybody. Organic, you can call anything organic now. You know, truth in labeling. You know, you can't sell vitamins without some stupid label. But now we can sell junk food tomatoes and junk food lettuce and call it organic when it's not. So you don't know what you're getting. So forget the produce department. There's nothing there. Let's go over to the dairy department. When we get over to the dairy department, we look at this. Okay, milk. Well, what does cows do? Cows drink water and they eat grass. But what about the rain? Well, let's see. The water in the planetary water table is 15% more radioactive. So that means that we're going to have strontium-90 on the grass. Oh, my God, I just measured my milk from the dairy. It's got strontium-90 in it. It's radioactive. And I'm going to drink this milk, that, oh my God, it stays in my body, and now it's going to my mammary gland. If I'm going to have breast cancer, and if it's a guy, I'm going to have prostate cancer just from the milk. Oh, but guess what? In the milk it says vitamin A added, vitamin D added. Well, let's see, what vitamin A did we? Oh, a synthetic. So therefore, we added vitamin A, a synthetic. So what vitamin A we had in our body, produced by the liver to make the immune system strong, has just been substituted for a auricless, electrical, dead vitamin. Vitamin D, we're going to take the vitamin D, the calciferol, synthetic calciferol into our body because it's in the milk. Oh, my God, our body is so full of vitamin D now, but we can't assimilate calcium anymore because it's not real vitamin D. We just blocked the real vitamin D, so we have a calcium assimilation problem. What does that do if you're past 30? Your bones aren't growing anymore. Oh, your heart. Guess what? The body takes 80% of all the calcium to produce actin to make your heart beat. Looks like we're going to have heart problems now if we drink the milk, if we don't have cancer first from it. Now, I don't think I need to go any further through the story. You get the picture, okay? So there's only one alternative, and I can take everything apart like that. And it's a downhill. Believe me, you don't even want to go there. Get the soda pop out for the kids. Hello, let's drink soda pop. Well, there's enough sugar in here to give us, oh, my God, a can of Pepsi-Cola produces an ounce of ethanol. Oh, my God, that's ethanol's like formaldehyde. We just drugged the kids with formaldehyde by giving them a Pepsi-Cola. It just goes on and on and on. So you wonder why our society is a little bit askew, skewed, it's fucked up, you know, you might say. It's gone because this is what our daily life is all about. And it takes a lot of exercise, a lot of water, a lot of stuff to get all this food out of our system. You might as well just throw in the towel. Well, that's what the Pleiadians were educating me on back in the 70s, where our society would go. And I think we're almost there now. So that's where the nuclear receptor came along. The nuclear receptor, the next thing in my growing process is I got to work with our pyramids and yogis. And what we found out with the pyramids and the yogis was that we had these guys that could stop their hearts and start them again. That was cool. We did it over UCLA. They were called cities. We had guys we could put in a box, and we could throw them in a swimming pool for 15 hours, and they came out and said, oh, that looks great. I'll do that again now. We met all these people from the East that had these meditation techniques down that showed us, and I began to learn, I began to study them because of what I'd seen from their studies. They began to show us you don't need air, you don't need water, you don't need food, you don't need anything. You can actually live on pure energy, but most people aren't ready for that. That's a little over the top. So what we got to do is we got to start orienting our bodies to become pure energy. We got to start on the physical body because that's what we're in right now. If you remember my little discussion last week with the Egyptians, how they by embalming process, they were saying how important our physical bodies were to support the garden of the gods on the astral planes, because if we don't have physical bodies to send energy over there, that place don't exist no more. And that's our heaven world for out-of-body experiences or between incarnations. So there's a lot of reasons why the receptor came here. It animates the hydrogen atom. It allows us to rely a whole lot less on the things we put in our body, whether it be air, sound, or food, or any kind of metabolic substance. It allows us to not have to really rely so much on those anymore. And it allows us to process some of the bad that's in the good, to get some good to kind of rectify the situation. The first way we start rectifying the situation is we look at potential hydrogen. Okay, we're talking about pH. You know, pH is from the hydrogen atom. How do you polarize? How do you know if your hydrogen atom in your body is working right, like it's supposed to? How do you know it's not all askew? It's very simple to find out. You go down to your local pharmacy, and you buy it's a big roll of paper. It's called pH Phydrin, and it's a yellow tape. It's a $13 a roll average price. Could probably be some countries it's more or less. But you buy it from your pharmacy, not a prescription, that's a roll of tape. You take a piece of that tape in the morning when you get up and you put it under your tongue. If it stays yellow, you got problems with your hydrogen atom, pH-wise. If it goes purple, then you're in good shape. You can start going to the next phase of working with your hydrogen atom as an energy point. So one of the first things that we have found with pyramid energy and the nuclear receptor is it allows the body to balance its pH. So the first thing that it will do when you wear it is it puts it opens up your hydrogen atom so that it will now accept the different color frequencies that come from white light that we need to process to live on. Because basically, light is consciousness. Light is everything that we are. We are all made of light. We all become light. But right now, We need the light as food. We also need the physical bodies to bring up our kids to hang out with each other. Otherwise, if we just turn into white light, it's going to get very boring really quick. We're going to have to completely materialize a whole new world scheme and create beings and go incarnate in them. We have to play God, in other words. So most people aren't up to the task of playing God. Secondly, with a nuclear receptor, what it does is we have tests. We find out. We use color charts. You can have somebody muscle test you, and you can pick up 7 different colored rocks if you want. Find out which one you're weak in. And when they push your arm down, or if you put your fingers together and you go on the blog and service website, you'll see a picture of a hand there and then how to do the test. You pull the person's fingers apart. They are blindfolded. They have their eyes closed. You never show the person you're testing what color of stone they have, because you don't want them to know. And they believe me, that person, when you get the right color, you won't be able to pull their fingers apart or push their arm down. They become strong. They have no clue what color they've got in their other hand as a test vehicle, but I guarantee you there'll be one stone. That hand's not coming apart. That's the area of consciousness that you're weak in. That's where you start to fix yourself. So what happens is, let's just say for an example, there's 3 examples I like to give that are common with most people. People that are overweight typically have problems in digestion. They could use a yellow topaz stone to help them. People oftentimes have a thyroid problem, and so that creates overweight or obesity. Or people have a pituitary problem, and that creates a problem, and that becomes a red stone, like a ruby. So, and the green, by the way, is an emerald. So red, green, or yellow could be any one of those, and they'll probably test stronger on those 3 colors. So then you have to use a little bit of finesse and just gradually look for a sensitivity between those 3 to separate it out to find the final one that's the strongest. That person then puts that color gemstone on the receptor. They start wearing it. What happens is, over the first 90 days, the blood is affected. The red blood cell, all the red blood cells, the entire blood system in the body is reproducing itself every 90 days. So the quickest effect in the body is the blood system. The blood completely remanufactures its entire characteristical system of how it behaves in 90 days. Okay? So once the blood is repaired, you might muscle test again, and you might be one of the other color stones. So then it's time to change. Your big problem was some problems making your blood, which could have been a spleen problem, because the spleen is an area it takes consciousness and adds it to the oxygen to bring in the body. That's how it metabolizes consciousness, makes the prana out of just oxygen. Oxygen by itself is not a life force. Oxygen transports a life force. The life force is an etheric particle that comes from the second ether, and it's called a vitality globule by the metaphysical people. The medical profession has no name for it. They just call it life component of the blood. Because if they give you glycogen, for example, in a blood transfusion, you're not getting the life force if you are out of blood, but you're getting a substitute that will transport oxygen and pick up carbon dioxide, but it won't give you the life force. You can't live on glycogen. It's sugar water. So anyway, these are the kinds of things that you start to experience. So let's say you needed an emerald. We found it was your thyroid gland. So we put an emerald on you. Well, now what happens is the frequency, the vibration, the vibratory frequency, the input, the electrical input and the electrical precursing input of the thyroid gland is now changed, because that receptor is on there doing what it does. It's animating the atoms, the green part of the hydrogen atom in the entire body. It's increasing its frequency. I would recommend the vitamins. I have a chart in my different books, Rays of Truth and Death of Ignorance. There's a chart. And if you look down the chart, there's a stone, there's a food, there's a food group, there's everything correlating. So not only you're wearing the receptor, now you'll be taking more vitamin C, you'll be eating more green foods, green beans with iron, you'd be taking that. You'd be putting things that are green in your body to get the full charge out of it. The next set of organs that's going to rejuvenate is going to be your liver and your kidneys and then the associated organs. That takes about 1 year. In the process of them rejuvenating, you're going to go through some changes in your head and your brain. Your neurons are going to start firing faster. When your neurons start firing faster, you're going to go through what we call a time continuum shift. And what that means is, going back to the first part of my opening argument or conversation here, where I said the hydrogen atom is red, you're getting up in bed in the morning, and you're kind of awake and you're not, and you're awake and you're not. We're looking at a period of this little red electrons stopping and dancing in the red frequency, and that's bringing consciousness. And only during that red period, that the time that this little red electron is dancing for you in the morning, that are you receiving consciousness. The rest is kind of a void that you're not aware of, but the fat of your body and your grossness of your body is causing you to think that you're on a continual experience here when you're actually having an experience with big holes in it, okay? So what happens is now we've been fixing our brain. Our synapses are firing faster. The fovea, which is the light-interpreting receptors in the brain through your retina in your eye, is getting stronger. And so what happens is now we're starting to move into some yellow energy into the body. Solar plexus will start functioning better. And the electron will start dancing faster going around your hydrogen atom. So now we just doubled the speed of the camera now, for example. Now that little lapse of time is a little bit less. So now you're a little bit more conscious than you were before 6 months or a year earlier. You're much more conscious. You're a lot less likely to have an accident because accidents always occur in that moment that you're not perceiving what your environment truly is. Now you might be less accident prone. Colors might be getting better, brighter. You can hear better. All these things are starting to happen. The fovea is starting to get more focused. Okay, that's the first year. Second year, by now you've changed stones. Probably the thyroid is working pretty good now. Now we're probably either looking at something else in your body. The DNA has re-spiraled a little bit instead of going down to 6 base pairs. Certainly, that'd be up to 8 or 10 now, a little bit longer. These are the university studies we're going to be doing this year with UCI at Irvine. A little bit longer DNA stuff. So now we got a little bit more going on. We're not eroding down into the coffin as fast. We might have even actually turned the corner, and we're kind of getting back into the immortal spin here. So now we muscle test again on pituitary. You know, now we're testing weak on red. Now that red is pretty weak. Green is strong, so we switch stones. We go to the pituitary gland. Now the energy is focused on hydrogen atom, the red spin, the point of red on that hydrogen. We're putting some energy on that spin. And so that's going to be very interesting because the pituitary gland produces a what's called a tropic hormone. The tropic hormone now sends hormones down to your entire metabolism. Your entire endocrine system will now start getting a full set of commands. That's a big jump when you get up to a ruby. If you put a ruby on somebody when they need a thyroid problem and it's premature, for example, it makes them real speedy and real uncomfortable. It makes them try to mock up that pseudo-fast time repair thing that you're going through, but it's not working yet. You've just got to keep them slow with the emerald. So now we can go into the ruby frequency. Things will speed up in the body. Metabolism starts to go. Now you'll start to see probably some weight fall off your body without a big change in diet. Your desires for what you put in your body will start to change because you're not so much in desire mode, which is a despiraling of the DNA, but you're in what's called aspire mode, which now you're starting to get some passion back in your life and you're starting to feel different. So that's what the red one will do. So now let's say we wear that for a year or two. Now the liver's back on track. The brain is starting to fire on all cylinders. Now what's the next stone? Well, usually when people have gone through a 2 or 3 year process and got the organs on the repair and they're not shrinking anymore, they'll go to one more step. Usually could be the heart or they'll go to the big one, and that's the diamond, the white stone. When they go to the diamond, now what happens is we're in the crown chakra. And the diamond receptor is the one that really lights you up. All it just puts white light through your body. Your time, you're being here now. You can smell things better. You can hear things better. So much goes on. It's just incredible. And that's kind of the evolution of how the receptor goes. The next thing that you do is the materials in the receptor. There are different materials. A lot of people cannot afford financially start out with a $15,000 or $20,000 solid platinum or gold receptor. They don't need to. They can start out right now. I've got a sale going on, three for the price of two. You can give them for holidays. But these are nickel cadmium receptors. They've got a little bit of gold. They're 18 or 24 karat gold plated. They have a lot of cadmium in them, and cadmium is great for radiation. Not only will the receptor start working with a hydrogen atom, but in making that more balanced, like we're talking about, but it will also start removing all the radiation from your body because everybody is full of radiation. Believe me, that's another cause of cancer. Later on, usually what happens is people will migrate to a silver receptor. A silver receptor, solid silver, sterling receptor, is a lot more powerful than the cadmium ones are. but and cadmium zinc rather, not helium. I'm thinking of lasers. Cadmium zinc ones are, but when you get into those, they become radioactive. Silver is a tetrahedral shaped molecule, so silver is a little bit intense. But when you start putting one of those receptors on, it's about 50 times the amplification of just one of the regular of the zinc and cadmium receptors. So a couple things happen. One, they're a little speedy, a little bit uppy, so you got to get used to the little feeling of increased energy. Secondly, they become radioactive much quicker than the other ones, to the point where they cannot dissipate their own energy. So the silver one, you have to start putting it under the water. You have to stick it in your under your sink. And everybody do that with silver about once a week, become more radioactive. So you end up sticking it in the water, and that washes off the radiation. That's the first thing they teach you away in civil defense, is if you're exposed to radiation, is to take a shower, especially radioactive fallout. The same thing with the receptor. It's radioactive. And if you don't do that, it has a very nasty little feeling on the body. You'll end up feeling like you got a. The receptor usually has a chain on it about 30 or 28 inches long, which happens to be the frequency of DNA. And so as a result, wearing this thing, it comes across your breastplate of a man or female. You might feel like a weight there all of a sudden. That's because it's radioactive, and that's the thymus gland. It's right over the thymus gland. And the thymus gland, by the way, in human beings is very susceptible to radiation. So you need to take that off immediately and rinse it off and put it back, and then there's no feeling there anymore, and then you know it's fine. The next step up, we have what's called an 18-karat gold.
Can I interrupt you for just a sec?
Sure, go ahead.
I need to step out for about 15 minutes.
I'll just continue on.
Okay, I was just wondering, you're not going to want to take call.
I'm going to go about 15 minutes, and then I'm going to do calls.
Okay.
I've got a clock here. You come back in 15, and
we'll do calls. Well, the lines are lit up.
Well, that's okay. I'm not done. 15 minutes, we'll start calls.
Okay.
Okay.
Ciao.
All right, so then as you wear this receptor, you get into the gold. Now, gold is not cheap. It's gone up a lot, but there's a big advantage to an 18-karat gold receptor, and we have some very low-cost ones that we have. But 18-karat and up is an octahedron in gold. So what happens is the gold molecule from 18-karat and up is a octahedron, a natural shape of a pyramid. So that's the healing quality of gold. Now, remember, you're healing yourself, but this is the healing quality of gold. And so the 18-karat not only works with a hydrogen atom, but it also works for the carbon atom. So you're working with two out of the four atoms when you go into gold. And so a lot of times people they can't afford a real gold receptor yet, so they'll buy a silver one and they'll put a gold 18-karat bridge on it. It's much cheaper than a gold one, but it gives you a lot of the benefits of a solid gold one. And so that's the way that goes. Then when you get up into the platinum receptors, and usually the jocks buy those. I don't recommend anybody out there, unless you're a world-class athlete and tremendous energy, get into platinum as far as a receptor, because the energy is so high, the adrenal stimulation is so great that it's very. You spend a lot of money on something you can't wear because it's just too uncomfortable to wear. Just boxers and high-level athletes use these things, and I don't even want to sell them to average people, because it's just too much energy. So what we do there is we'll compromise a little bit, and we'll make a solid gold one for somebody, and we'll put a platinum bridge. That's the one that I like, the platinum bridge. It's a lot less expensive. It gives them a little pizzazz of the platinum energy with enough to wear it. And usually once you get up to a yellow or a gold or white diamond with the platinum bridge gold receptor, you're pretty much done with receptors. Then you're ready to go on into other things and wear those. Second thing that's very important, as you go through this evolution of energies of the receptor, you got to look at your body now. Now, give you an example. Before, when you first started, you were very barely here. You're accident prone. You're probably overweight. You're gross. You're not motivated. You're bipolar. All the things that people start at, or somewhere in between that and perfection, your body just isn't working right. When you start activating the hydrogen atom talks to the protein over there and says to the nitrogen, hey, wake up, guy. Just get some action on your spin here. And your electron, you get your electrons going. There's a lot of electrons in nitrogen. It takes a while to get all those things going. But pretty soon, all those electrons in the nitrogen atom are spinning away. So now what happens is your body starts to get hungry now. And it doesn't need a martini, and it doesn't need, a bowl of cereal. It needs nutrients, because all of a sudden, your body wants to make some vasopressin. You need lysine and arginine, and you aren't going to find that in a tuna fish sandwich or a Coca-Cola. You need to put that free amino acid back in your body. So what we did at Paradigm, what I did years ago, this is back in about 1982, you know, we did this, is we began to put special things into our vitamins so that when you use the receptor, your body called for the nutrition was available, and we created what was known as a Paradigm formula. And this Paradigm nutritional formula, I forget all the names, it's had many names over the years, but we just call it Pyramid Vitamins, XL Plus, it's had a million names. You start putting that in your body. And if you're an athlete or a bodybuilder and you want to start converting fat over, you're going to have to go down to the health food store and you're going to have to supplement our stuff with free-form amino acids and a bunch of other stuff. But the bottom line is you're going to metabolize it now. You're going to metabolize now. And believe me, when I work as a nutritionist with people, I work with people that have been eating meat half their lives. They want to lose weight and they want to become lighter and airier and they want to become a vegetarian. And I say, nope, you got to keep on eating meat here. You got to gradually teach your body to build those enzymes so that you, if you ate salads and vegetables right now, you couldn't assimilate anything. You'll just make yourself sick and you suffer from malnutrition. You get more frustrated and you bring yourself to a lower pedestal than you're already on. So you can't make that transition very quickly. You got to do it slowly. Remember, it takes the body 7 years to reproduce itself. And when you go into something like a nuclear receptor, it's a 7-year program. With me, it's a 21-year program because I've been wearing one that long. So by the time you get to be my age, you better be ready to have the energy that I do. I'm 62 years old, and there's no teenager. I can outrun most teenagers physically. I can physically run 5 miles, not a problem. I can lift more weight, and I can stay up longer and have more fun. And I don't drink anymore, but back when I could drink, I got to outdrink anybody. You know, nobody could keep up with Dr. Fred. He was a wild man. But I'm not proud of that. It's abuse of the body. You can abuse yourself when you start fixing yourself, but eventually you won't abuse yourself. Because when you play around that Stargate like we did tonight on national TV, that was some fun. That's what I like to do with my energy, bring it to a transcendental mode. And then you can start playing around with holograms, and you can start playing around with projectors and all the other stuff we do in systems. This company has been around. We're going on year 31. 31 years doing this stuff. And we're number one in the world, and we've been there all along, and we are pioneering all kinds of stuff. And we have not advertised at all. We just do word of mouth. It's been very good. So anyway, the receptor, we also realized there was another problem, the receptor, and that is people, let's say you're on a mineral farm, you're getting your base minerals being iron. Don't take vitamins with copper in them because there's too much copper in the world already. If somebody's formulating with copper in their vitamins, they don't know anything about nutrition. It's throw it out. At least I would. So you might be taking those, but you need trace minerals because when you start firing, when your synapses start firing at the rate that they're going to wearing the receptor after a couple of years. Now, some of you might take right off. I mean, I've had people come in here that were black belts and many degrees in martial arts. We muscle test them. They're in perfect shape. We put a platinum diamond on them, and off they go. I mean, we do it, and that happens. But there's about 1 out of 10,000 that does that, you know. But so the bottom line is you're building yourself up. Well, trace minerals, and even the people that test strong for the diamond right away still need trace minerals. Very few people have it in their body. Trace minerals are very important. So we got into we make trace minerals now, a very good mineral. It's a very nice tasting liquid. It tastes like a sarsaparilla drink, sort of. And I recommend one bottle is supposedly good for a month, but when you're wearing the receptor, I recommend you do 2 ounces a day of it, and it's very tasty. Because what happens is in 3 days, just the trace minerals will double or triple your energy. Believe me, it will. We'll give you your money back if it doesn't. With the receptor, you're going to go through the wall, and in a nice way, in a very balanced way, you'll go through the wall. So I recommend 3 ounces, morning, noon, and night. So you need 3 bottles or 1.5 bottles per month. Get going. And then once you get up and running with them, I'd cut it back to probably 2 ounces or 1 ounce a day. But to jumpstart your body, to speed the whole process up, the trace minerals. And not only in our trace minerals, there's the trace minerals present, but we also put silicon in there. And the silicon works on your fingernails. And women love it because their fingernails, if they have bad fingernails, when they use it with a receptor, the fingernails start healing up and growing much faster. And with me, up until a year ago, I had long hair, but then I decided I'd cut it back for a while. I was tired of it getting tangled up. even now I have to go get my hair cut all the time because when I take the trace minerals, my hair grows 1 inch per month. And normally without it, it was about probably quarter to maybe a third of an inch a month. So my hair doubled or tripled. And women's hair grows really fast with the trace minerals. And also, if your hair is just starting to gray, that'll probably go away. There's a couple of amino acids you can email, and I can send you the information on them if you're worried about gray hair, because this will actually slow down the graying of your hair, in some cases reverse it. So there's a lot of interesting things that go on with the body on a physical level when you wear the receptor and take these different ingredients with it. And I also recommend that you do a lot of other things. I recommend that you get off of meat when you can, because meats are full of steroids. They're full of preservatives. Chicken is full of steroids. It causes deformity in children. Fish today is full of heavy metals. I mean, I was a big fish eater for a long time. I won't touch the stuff anymore. It's not safe. I just go with organic vegetables. Potatoes are fairly safe. I use a lot of those. And, I still have to watch my weight. You know, it's so easy to gain weight when your energy and your body becomes so efficient, energy efficient. So these are the kinds of things that start out with a receptor. Now, also, as you go on and your consciousness changes, your life will change. For example, a lot of times people, they're getting a divorce or they're breaking up, and I'm not a marriage counselor, and they'll come to me, and not both parties, but one or the other, will come to me and they want to change their life around. And so I know that they're going through a big stress letdown. I mean, I don't care how long you've been in a relationship, whether you've been into it for 6 or 8 months or several years, and I don't care whether you got along or not. There is a codependence of the relationship. There's a familiarity of the relationship. And whether you want to admit it or not, you can't live with each other and you can't live away from each other. Feeling syndrome that goes on even though you're splitting up. So in that headset, it's lit. We don't really care yet about how we feel. Well, yeah, we'd like to feel good and everything. We'd like to be thin and perfect and blemish-free. But we're not quite ready to go there. We really want to calm our emotions down. That's what we really want to do. And then we'll get to that stuff. We're not really emotionally motivated because this breakup is we're actually breaking in half. It's a split because our auras have been fused. And the harmonious or disharmonious, genuous or disingenuous, we're going through some pain here in the heart. The heart's a little bit broken. So what happens is we're coming apart. And so what we need to do is we need to balance and lower our frequency and get our lives adjusted to the new people that are going to be coming in. And so what I always do 100% of the time, that person will test very strong for an amethyst. And so if you're somebody that's going through a relationship change, don't even bother testing for a receptor if you're emotionally suffering or hurting behind it, which is most of you out there. Go ahead and just get an amethyst receptor. Because what that does, it resets at the base of the spine. It's your the lower. It will balance your kundalini energies. It won't cause them to go up, move up the spine like the other ones will. But it will balance your energy, and it will allow the. It puts out a kind of a subconscious energy that kind of gets rid of people in your life, because you're going to go through a person. You're going to go through a relationship changes. Anybody does, because your spouses or your boyfriend or girlfriends. Friends are going to kind of split, and they're going to have mixed feelings on this shakeup, and your friends are going to have mixed. So you're going to go through an adjustment period to try to reach peace and to try to reach harmony. So the amethyst, even an amethyst by itself is incredible for this, but on the nuclear receptor, it's a very powerful, calming, emotional thing. But it also sets a frequency up on your aura that repels the people that are against you, whether you know that they're against you or not. You're going to go through changes rather quickly and effortlessly with the amethyst receptor on, because it will cause people to subconsciously just go away. You don't have to confront them anymore or go through some more of a learning curve, because really you don't have the emotional energy right now to go through this growing curve. You really need to have peace and quiet and gather your wits back together. So the amethyst will do that. It will also cause you to probably meet the right people that you should be meeting, and hook up with people that will be your friends in the future, and they'll be going down that new path with you, or then you'll be meeting people that are on that new path. So the amethyst is a receptor that does that. Now, I don't recommend the other ones. There are organs that are balancing, the base of the spine, the sexual organs. A lot of things are balancing themselves. when you wear the amethyst. But the amethyst is, if anybody were to ask me what is the more spiritual of the receptor family, I would say the amethyst. And that's the one to start with when you're going through a hardship and you're coming out of it. As far as thyroid changes and some of the other changes, there are life and paradigm shifts when you start changing the other colors and frequencies of the stone. They're all different. They all work different. But like I say, the amethyst is the most important one to consider. Also, what people want to know about is the chains. When I was in Europe, for example, a lot of people in Europe, especially in Germany, they don't want a chain around their neck. They want to put a leather strap around their neck because they claim it blocks their energy. Well, if you believe that a chain around your neck will block your energy, then you can bet that a chain around your neck will block the energy. So don't use the chain. Put a little leather strap on it. It doesn't decrease the effectivity on you of a nuclear receptor. By doing that, it might decrease the effectivity on someone else, because what the chain does is it's cut to a DNA frequency of 375 to 425 megahertz, which is the frequency of DNA. So the chain is like an antenna. Now, another question I get a lot is that, where on your body do you place a receptor? Does it matter where you wear it? Yes, it does. It doesn't really matter where you wear it. What really matters is it's vertical. In other words, if you look at the front of it, you're going to see pyramids right side up, and you're going to see pyramids upside down. If you go over to the chart and the diagrams on the blog and service website, you'll see some drawings. You'll see a very accurate drawing in there. Just click on the front page where the receptor is for more information, right on the receptor itself, and it will take you to a drawing that was done by Sean David Morton and myself years ago that accurately depicts the actual mechanical operation of that receptor, and it will show you why it's important to keep it in a vertical mode. And now, however, a lot of people, the other question I get is, do I wear it at night when I sleep? Well, I don't recommend. If I wore it, I'd probably strangle myself with a chain. That's me, but you're not me, so it might work. But what I do is I tell people, first of all, if you're going to be near it in sleep, because you're going to go in your astral body and it's going to put a presence on your aura, you want to rinse it off. You don't want it radioactive, so you rinse it off. And what I always tell people is just put it under your pillow. That's the best place that I think it should go. A lot of people seem that it works for them. Some people will hang it around their bed. Some people will shoot a laser into it or something, but you know, because they have a laser from one of our other products. But what I always recommend is you put it under your pillow. That's kind of important. So that's another question that I get from these things. And then another question I get is, well, if I get one of the least expensive ones, can I change the stone in that? No, you can't, because the metal is too brittle. The only ones that you can change stones in are the ones that are made out of silver or gold or platinum, because they are a malleable metal, and we can put different stones in them, as many changes as you want. And other times people will have a silver one for 2 or 3 years, and they say, I want to sell this. I want to really get a gold one now, but I spent $1,000 on a duotone or $1,400. Man, that's a lot of money. I say, we'll give you 100% trade-in back on your receptor. So whenever you get 100% back on this thing. Whatever you paid for it, you'll get it back, full credit towards your next one. And the real strange thing, and this is what blew my mind, I'm not a jewelry manufacturer. I make energy amulets and energy things. One of my clients was over in Hawaii a few years ago, and he had a platinum receptor, a golden platinum receptor with a diamond in it. And he took it, he paid quite a bit of money for it, and he had a beautiful gold chain on it. And he took it to a jeweler in Hawaii, in Honolulu. And he walked in there, and he asked him what it was worth, and the guy gave him a number that was higher than what he paid for it. And he was surprised. He says, well, you know, the gold in here doesn't cost that much. And he says, yeah, but that's a pyridine. See the stamp on the bottom? It says pyridine. That's like a fancy watch, a trade name. That's pyridine. And so I found out quite by accident, and a guy in New York did this for another client, that the pyridine name on a receptor, nobody else can make them because there's a U.S. patent, but actually has a state value. Now that I did not plan on. That was kind of neat that I'm designer league of jewelry, but that's not what we intended on. It's just something that happened, I guess, when the product's on the market for It's 1981. This is what you got to deal with. So anyway, a lot of strange things happen with the nuclear receptor. There's a lot of other different things that go on with them, too. If you look at the back of it, there's a design on the back, and there's a hole in the middle of it. And the design on the back is called a Yanin mantra. And what we call in electronics, we call that a microwave trap. So what happens is, when the energy comes in, when the pyramids generate, the upside down, the right side up pyramids generate this scalar wave type life force of energy. It's actually life force energy, similar to what the carbon atom produces in your body, but much more intense. It sends it out to that little bridge. A focal point is where the little bridge is, the thing that holds the stone. The stone then filters out of the seven colors because it produces white light. If you photograph one of these things with infrared, you're going to see white light, or if you put it on a brilliant photography machine, you're going to see a huge aura spread of all the colors.
I see it. It's white.
Yeah, it's white.
I'm back.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just finish this up. If there's any questions, we'll answer them. So anyway, what happens is that the receptor then changes the frequency of that white light and it sends it back through the hole. And if there's any ELF present, that Yanin mantra will focalize or clean that up and send it right down to your aura frequency. It sends it down to the hydrogen atom in your body. And so your receptors have electrolytes at the base of your brain, and these electrolytes are producing electricity as your receptors and effectors, as they're called, are firing off at the rate of the hormones arriving at the brain and sending these electrical impulses down through your central nervous system, which goes out through the endocrine gland. This whole electrical field is basically very sensitive to the energy that the receptor sends in. So it will polarize on green if it's a green laser. It will polarize on red if it's a red laser. And so, a red gemstone. So what happens is that's how the colors work and that mantra works. There's another thing that happens with a nuclear receptor, and that's if you take a person that doesn't have one on, you can get hit with microwave radiation, like, for a cell phone. And if they aren't wearing one, and the cell phone, if their pH is off, if their pH is fine, the cell phone's not going to bother them. But if their pH is bad and they're using the cell phone, they're going to produce a free radical, and that's going to create cancer in a lot of people. It becomes a electronic carcinogen. We call electrocarcinogen. So what happens is when you put the receptor on your body, it allows your body to create so much more efficiency in the metabolizing of the ATP molecule in the cells, that what happens is your electrical frequency is so high that when you're holding a cell phone up to your head, it creates what's called auric offset, and the radiation of the cell phone is harmonized or homogenized into your auric frequencies, and so it won't produce a free radical. We have never had a person buy a receptor from us ever and get cancer. We have had people buy receptors from us and that had cancer and they didn't have it anymore. Your receptor doesn't cure cancer. Cancer is only cured by you. This is not a medical claim. It's a disclaim. It's just a fact. So with that, we can. If there's any callers out there, we can either end the show or we can take some questions. What do we got going, Don?
I think that answers your question. I'll put them through.
Yeah. Anybody there?
There for a second, folks. I apologize for that.
Oh, is that an electro zap?
I have no idea. Are you still there, Valerie?
Yes,
let me try that one more time.
I think that was an electro.
There we go.
Okay.
Hello. I heard somebody there.
Hello.
Hello. You have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Where are you calling from, Valerie? Where are you calling from, Valerie?
Arizona. Sedona.
Oh, good. You're nearby.
Yeah.
So warm over there today?
No.
Well, we got all the heat over here, huh?
I apologize to the two of you. By the way, this is a good, this is Dr. Valerie Olmsted. She has
from. Okay, I know who she is, yeah. What was your question?
Yes, I do. You know, I love your receptor, and I wear it at night, and I don't strangle myself with it. And, you know, we have a lot of energies going along in Sedona, and I find it really helps me. My question is, you know, I felt the stuff you were talking about, you know, where you get hit with something and it kind of presses into your chest.
Yeah.
That happened when the first day that I got it as I was driving along here. But what I've had happen that I can't quite explain, I'm hoping you can, is that mine doesn't turn black very often, but it turns gold.
Yeah, well, that's a skin effect on this. You got a silver one, right?
Yeah, I have a silver one, but it doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's,
your pH must be pretty good. Is your pH pretty good?
That would explain it, I guess.
Yeah. What happens is, you know, the black is the lower end of the light spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
If your pH is really low, you attract negative energy, obviously, and
mm-hmm.
it turns it black.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means your body is toxic, and so it causes oxidation on the receptor. When we were developing this receptor, I was working with a guy named Harold Keith. We had a company called Zenith Advanced Health Systems in Corvallis, Oregon in 1981. We used to wear a zinc bar. Everybody had to wear the zinc bar. It was part of the testing we were doing before we came out with the receptors.
Uh-huh.
They would weigh the bar, you know, in micrograms, how much it weighed before you wore it, and then when you wore it for a week, we weighed it again. Some people, it would stay the same, and other people would metabolize part of the zinc because their body was so hungry for zinc that the thing got lighter.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so what happens is with the silver receptor, it's a trace mineral. Silver is a reflective mineral. It's immune system. It's related to chromium.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, in some people, your body is metabolizing that receptor, and it actually eats it up. And if that's happening, it will turn black. Because the back of it will be being dissolved by your body, and the front of it is black because it attracts that energy. It oxidizes the silver.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that the black was a different type of energy thing.
You need to get a gold one, though.
And I kept asking, why is it turning gold?
You know? Huh?
And it would just all of a sudden turn gold. I've had it happen so many times.
Yeah, you need a gold receptor now. Your body's telling you something.
Oh.
You get a gold, trade it back in and get a gold one. You need one.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah, great Christmas present for yourself.
Yeah.
What stone do you have in it?
I have the white zircon.
Okay, you need the diamond.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm serious.
All right.
You got a koi on now. That thing is a mockery, you know?
Uh-huh.
Give it to one of your clients, trade it back in. You need a gold receptor with a diamond in it, and that thing is a joke on you now. You've outgrown it, and that's what happened. That's
well,
typical.
That would make
that's
sense, because I've had all this kundalini
anyway,
rising
it's
stuff
really
happening. I have wild stuff going on over here.
Yeah. We should have seen the Stargate open tonight. And everyone...
Oh, I wish I'd been there.
it was beautiful. The light was just amazing coming out of that thing.
Man, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I'll
right,
have to
so
get out there one of these days. All right, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. That was a good question. Anybody else out there, Don, or we...
We got quite a number of listeners.
Any more questions?
We'll wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, well, I will. If there's no other questions, I will. I had a couple of questions on the Internet. One of my listeners down in Australia had a question that we were talking about the gas tank last week. And he wanted to put a car. I was explaining you get much better gas mileage, you know, with when you use pyramids in your gas tank. We have these little 2-inch base pyramids, wire, you know, open wall, and there's no the wire for a pyramid, or a wire, but it's 2 inches at the base. And if you put those in grids and stack them one on top of the other and put them inside of a gas tank, the gas mileage doubles on your car. Because what it does is the carbon atom, the carbon benzene ring in a gas molecule is made much more efficient by the pyramid energy, because basically the energy of combustion is the same as the energy of life force. Life force is what animates your body. It takes heat. That's why when you exercise, you get hot. And so he was thinking, well, then rather than just go ahead and put a bunch of these pyramids in a, you know, like a couple hundred of them in a gas tank, actually probably about 500 of them or so. I don't know what's been on a gas tank, a 20-gallon tank. Why not just put one big pyramid over the car when you park it at night in your garage? And he didn't understand the saturation value. One big pyramid is not as powerful as many, many little ones. You have to have the concentration. That's why if you just wore a pyramid around your neck instead of a nuclear receptor, nothing's going to happen. If you look at a nuclear receptor, there's a couple of hundred pyramids on there, right side up and upside down. That's to build the saturation effect up and the life force effect up. And that's why you have to have so many of them in a gas tank. You have to saturate the thing with energy. And so each little small geometric you know, reconstruction of a pyramid has a tremendous force. And when you take two of them, you get the power of four, and you take four of them, you get the power of 16, and it just starts squaring. So it's kind of an inverse square law of how many of them you have in a cluster. It's more of how many there are versus the size, you know, believe it or not. Size doesn't matter here, okay? It's quantity. And so for that kind of work, so when you go in for saturation of a fossil fuel, also the exhaust, I forgot to tell people that when you put pyramids in your gas tank, not only do you get better gas mileage, but you don't produce, you don't need a smog device anymore. You create a much cleaner exhaust characteristic, too. So that was something I wanted to throw in. I don't know what other questions there were. So as far as I'm concerned, we've been on for an hour and a half here. If there aren't any more questions, I will end the show.
You know, we've got a lot of listeners online, but again, if you're not going to be calling in...
then I end my show. I'm done. I'm not an entertainer. I'd like to tell some jokes, but I got, you know, it's been a long day. So I will just... do you have any questions, Don, while you're there?
No, actually, I don't have too many questions. You put it in a very eloquent way. It's easily understood.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. There's a lot more to it, but that's the basic stuff, and then you put that up in the archives, and people can always go to that this show and look at what we were talking about and discussing. They'll get a lot of information, and I know that they'll be contacting my...
We do have a caller. I'll put her through.
Okay.
We do have a caller. Hi there. This is Ashtara.
How are you doing, Ashtara? Where are you calling?
I'm in Claremont, California right now.
Where's Claremont?
Yes.
Oh, very good. How's it up there today?
I'm in Claremont, California. Well, let me turn that down a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like a little feedback going there.
I went over to turn that off. Pardon me?
I said with feedback, it's called phase cancellation. You'll neutralize yourself.
That's why I went over to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to ask you is I'm having difficulty with entities.
Right.
And will this receptor work for that?
Well, there's two things. Now, are you having, believe me, I do a lot of this. This is not an unusual call for those of you that, you know. First of all, do you have problems in your house?
No, personally, I've been... having particularly one entity or many that have been implanting me and psychic attacks and so on. It's a personal.
Okay. Now, are you any sort of a channeler? Do you do any channeling where you open up your astral body to receive things that come from other places?
Not, well, I'm aware of all of those things, and I'm pretty open to that, but
you don't
not
do
to
that.
Say too much on the air, but I don't actually channel.
Okay.
But I know...
Excuse me, can you maybe turn off your feedback? Because it's coming through the airwaves quite a bit. Maybe your internet connection or radio?
I was trying to... Oops. There, I hit it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. How does your intuition work? Is that getting
messed excellent.
Up, or is that pretty clear?
My intuition is excellent, so I know the entity's there. I know about him. I know... what he's doing, when he's doing it.
Okay,
but
is this someone that you might have known either in a past life or this life that's come back?
I do believe that this is some kind of a karmic Atlantean.
Okay, so it's somebody that's holding on to you from a past life.
Yes, and all efforts with many facilitators have not been successful.
Yeah, no, I can relate. A couple things you need to do. Now, where do you get the implant? Thing. Do you actually think you have physical implants that usually that's done by something like an extraterrestrial group?
These are etheric, but I know they're there.
Okay. Two things with implants. Number one, it's a twofold question. One, the receptor would help. You would start with an amethyst. Second thing is you get the trace minerals that we make. It's called pyrrolo. We'll dissolve them. It's got some active ingredients besides silica. It will actually dissolve the implants. We've had very good luck with people that actually have been abducted by greys that have physical bumps in their body where these things are. They go away. So you need a combination of the receptor and that. And in your environment, It's not a very expensive addition. I would add what's called a star orb. It's made by my company. It's a Pleiadian device. It hangs in your room. You hook it to your refrigerator and you ground it outside, and it will keep any of that energy, because a lot of those entities will feed off of your body's defense mechanism as it repels extremely low frequency or ELF waves.
Yeah.
Your immune system goes into a resonant, it's what you say, a predictable mode to fight this stuff off, and these boys can see that and they just come right on through it, because it's a, the ELF itself is a skin effect off the surface of a wire, but when your body's fighting it, it puts a big hole in your aura, and that's where they come through.
Right.
So you need three things: a star orb, an amethyst receptor, and pyrolo. And I guarantee you that you're going to get some results. Unfortunately, you're not the first person that's had exactly this problem. If this was the first time for me, I would be shooting from the hip. But I'm speaking from 20 years of experience. I know what your problem is.
I figured you might know. Also, do you have a physical store in Laguna?
No, we have a place you can actually go.
Okay.
If you want to drive down here, you can make an appointment with one of the people, and you can pick the stuff up. It's not a problem. You know?
Oh, okay.
We ship it out to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always on driving anyway, so that's okay. But yeah, you're very helpful, because everything that I've tried has not negated the problem.
Well, you got to understand, it's a 1-2-3 punch. You know, a lot of people. It's just like tonight with a living room. I've had two seminars where I would have sworn during that, you know, those people that were in my seminars, I've been, you know, with me for 3 days when they come up here. They're very polarized, they're very relaxed, and no stargazing. It just didn't open. It's just a light, great listening, high fellowship. Tonight,
okay.
This baby opened up with people that were smoking and, you know, not in my house, but outside they would take smoke break, and it just banged open. And so that tells me that we're in a time now where problems like you have are going to be compounding pretty fast. They're not, I'm sure it's not getting any better. It's probably getting worse on a quantum level at this point. So you really, it's really an irritation, and it's not funny anymore, you know.
But yeah, I understand.
At one point, but now it's overwhelming. So I understand where you're at. I know it's a real deal. Some people might think it is, but once it happens to you, then you might think twice.
Well, I have this, the entity's been feeding off of me for quite a few years. It's been stealing my chi energy. Now I'm left with this. It has caused my body to age probably
prematurely. Yeah, you know
prematurely,
what the Pleiadians
a lot.
They
a lot.
Call these people astral vampires. That's their
yes.
word for it.
Is this ability? Do I have the ability to reverse this process?
Yeah. Well, because if you remember what I was talking about, the receptor, it respirals your DNA.
Okay.
But I'm suggesting an amethyst. Because you're gonna have, this is a relationship. You're gonna have to part ways with a relationship. So rather than worry about your body, and let's not try to fix your body right now. Let's sever the connection, okay? And so what happens is you got to raise your frequency. You got to go into turbo mode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to
mm-hmm.
put nitrous oxide in your system like they do in race cars. You got to do that, and that's what that amethyst is going to do. It'll boost your aura
okay.
so much that this energy will be blowing out in space. And then you're going to feed that energy, the metabolism, your body's going to scream for trace minerals. Otherwise, if you didn't put the trace minerals in with the receptor, you would hurt you. It would wound you. So you don't want that. So you got to take your medicine, and that's what the pyrolo will do for you.
All right.
So you take the pyrolo in and the receptor. You need both. And to make it easier for this process to perpetuate, you want to put the star orb in your house. And if you get one of my books, it shows you how to hook it up. And by the way, there's testimonials on the blog website about those star orbs now, or the radio website about how your food in your refrigerator will last 3 or 4 times longer than it normally does. The whole environment of living things with a star orb changes. And that's
okay.
good, because that's the healing environment. Now you're not having to fight the elementals around here and fight the entity at the same time. So it's a 1-2-3 punch.
Okay. That's really quite a relief, because I've been really kind of stressed over what I can do with this, because nothing has completely worked yet.
Your problem is solved. Call me back after you give yourself 6 weeks and call back in after you try this stuff. Come back on the air and tell me whether it worked or not. I'll take the test of time. Not a problem.
Oh, okay. I'll do that. I'll call your number and set up an appointment so I can come in.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Fred.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Yeah, Don?
I'm here.
Yeah, we have, Sarah, I'll tell you what, that problem is, it might sound a little strange. I have, for the last 15 years, I've had a lot of cases like that. I don't know how Dr. Phil would handle something like this, but this is a real deal, you know. Somebody else might recommend the tranquilizer, but that ain't going to help. And this is another problem. There's a lot of this that goes on out there in our society where people are not educated. Now, Sarah has some kind of a background into this stuff. A lot of people don't. Now, imagine that you're somebody that grew up in a household that had no metaphysical background. You know, you're an incarnation there of a higher being. You got some Atlantean or some Lemurian personality tagging you, because that's a pretty high... When those people went down, when Atlantis sunk, there was a lot of high-level consciousness that lost it and never came back. You got something like attacking you, and you're living in Mr. and Mrs. Straight America. You think there's something really wrong with you, so now you're going to hit those tranks, baby. Time for MOA and hitters and Prozac and all this stuff, you know? So
yep.
That was an example of what not to do if you go down the drug route. Luckily, she was smart enough, and this will help her.
We have Gayla online from...
Gayla?
Gayla, correct.
Gayla, all right.
I'll put her through.
Okay.
Good evening, Dr. Bell.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I talked to you last Saturday. This is Gayla from Tennessee.
Oh, hi, I remember you.
Yeah, from the Smoky Mountains.
You're from down south Tennessee.
Yeah.
Smoky Mountains.
Yep, in the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, so what's happening tonight?
Well, I have a question to
ask. You're one of my 14 listeners, aren't you?
There you go.
Yeah, now are you number 14?
Could be.
Because remember, now you can't have too much of Dr. Fred because you'll burn out.
Oh, really?
You're almost, it's a minute. We've been on an hour and 32. Another 5 minutes, and you got to turn your radio off because you can't handle it. You're a brand new listener. I don't want to burn your brain out.
Oh, you're not. No, honey, you won't burn me out.
Okay. I don't need any lawsuits here. Brain burning, you know?
No.
Too much.
I'm sorry that you'll be brain burning.
No, I don't need that, Don. I can't afford this, you know? I'm a working class stiff here. So what can I do for you?
Right. Well, I have several questions for you.
Uh-oh. Did you hear that, Don? Several questions.
We'll make them quick.
See, now, wait a minute. Before you start, do you see what happens with a new listener? You know, if you can't slash her, she's going to have lots of questions.
Well,
go
because
ahead,
our minds are hungry. We want information.
Oh, okay. What do you need to know?
And you're the man with the information.
Well, I take pot shots at it.
Yeah. When do you see, or if ever, actual contact with... Palladians and...
When did that start?
Hmm?
With Palladians or other groups or all groups?
All groups, actually.
I started with a gray when I was about 5 years old. Between four and five, his name was Golfty Lofty. And he taught me how to speak like the grays do. It's a guttural. It's like if you're pulling in on your solar plexus and trying to blow out at the same time, it makes your throat choke and you squeak. That's kind of how their language works. That's when I started.
Whoa.
Well, it's like you're choking, and it's a weird deal. Controlled choking. And that's because their elementary systems aren't complete, and that's how they speak. So therefore, they become telepathic. They start screeching, sort of like a cricket. And then when they do that, it sends out an electrical impulse in their brain, and it becomes a telepathic communication. That's how the grays communicate.
Wow.
And that's when I started.
Wow.
Real young. Yeah.
Well, do you actually see, because I feel that the world would be better if the information could get out, then this crazy religious fanatic syndrome that this planet has.
Yeah, well, that's because they're insecure. They were coming from the Piscean age, the last 2,250 years, are believers. So you got the integrity of the people that are out there. They haven't let their higher force guide them yet. They're trying to control it with their egos. And so therefore they have to have a God as support because the ego never works. Mm. So they're going through a growing curve. Yeah, that's world famous for that.
Yes. But do you see, in our lifetimes of this particular moment that we're here on the planet, do you see them coming forward to help us through some of these earth changes and stuff that are coming?
Seems like Don asked me that question the other day. No, I don't. Here's what's going to happen. The ETs are coming forward, but not physically. That would be a religious thing, you know. That won't happen. They come forward with the knowledge, and we have to do it ourselves. Once we've done it ourselves, then they're going to be everywhere. Like when you don't need it, it's not there. But when you really need it, it's always there. Kind of like that. It's what you think your needs are and what your real needs are, two different things. Typical example of that is me. I get up in the morning. Every morning I get up at some point, and I have a plan. The night before, as I'm going to bed, I have this plan for the following day.
Mm-hmm.
I have this plan. There are people I need to call that I think are important that I called the previous day. There are the bills that have to be paid. There's commitments, meetings, things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I get up in the morning, all ready to do this little thing to maintain business credibility. You follow through, you know, credibility with your friends, your business associates, your employees, you follow through. I get up in the morning, I start to do that. God says, boy, when I'm at, you know, the joke, you know, God's humor, right? God has to be happy, whatever God is. It ain't what, it's not what I'm going to do that day. What I planned is none of it. I might get 10% done. The rest of it is 90% all brand new. And somehow or other, the stuff I wanted to do resolves itself. And you kind of got to take that attitude to function anymore, which is okay. That's what I've had to do. It's not what I planned on, but it's what I do. And that seems to be the route. And it seems that in the process of following this new route, letting this higher force or this inner force guide me more than I used to, things actually get done better, you know.
Yeah.
And that will solve the problems that you see on the horizon. They're going to fix themselves. All you got to do is acknowledge them and make yourself more attuned to your higher nature. And you watch how stuff just washes away, you know. Because you can't fix karma.
True.
It's too far out of control. This world would be long since dead if you try to fix the karma here. It's just got to go away. And that's the beauty of the hologram. That's why we got onto our technology with the hologram projectors and all that. But tonight's show wasn't on that. Tonight's show was on taking care of your physical body and your physical needs and your spiritual needs related to that. That's more of tonight's show. But we have other things in process and to help out what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and that's being guided by ETs, by the way.
Pardon?
So.
Can you repeat that?
Huh?
Can you repeat that last one?
That work is being guided by ETs.
Oh, I believe that totally, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you ask me to guide something, forget it. You wouldn't want me around for 5 minutes.
Well,
guys sound cool sometimes.
We're too deep
I'm getting
in 3D.
Somebody's handed me a script and I'm reading it at that moment. It ain't what I wrote, believe me. I'm not very smart. I'm a slow learner. I'm not like Don. Don can pick up. He's smart. Somebody like Don Newsom's smart. He picks up languages and stuff. You know, I'm serious. He speaks nice German and all these languages. He can sit down on a computer and learn a program in 10 seconds. I've been on these things for 10 years. I can barely turn mine on. I'm not very smart.
I know that feeling.
I fool people. I'm a clear, though. I'm clear. I'm not smart. My IQ is probably subnormal. But I'm clear.
You're consistent.
I work very hard to stay clear and get and listen to what something's saying in my head, and I bring it out.
Yeah.
So I got everybody fooled, you know. But that's okay. It seems to work, and it's comfortable.
Well, now my other question, Dr. Bell, is I'm into the conspiracy of the government. It's no longer conspiracy. It's the truth.
It was the House. What happened to Congress the other day? There's your conspiracy. Kind of blowing up in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting real interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? 2 weeks ago, Don told me this was going to happen. The government was going to blow up. And I said, I don't think so. Guess what? He was right. It blew up 2 days. It blew up yesterday, didn't it?
It's going to get real interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're talking Don about that stuff.
Yep. Pardon the pun, but they're an old paradigm that has to die out also.
Yeah, it's true.
There's great change
coming. The Piscean energy's got to go away. The Aquarian.
Absolutely.
But I feel bad for the troops over there right now. They don't know what to think of
this. I do too.
And
my son
feeding terrorism
and all that.
Oh, is this feeding terrorism?
We need them out of there.
Yeah.
As in yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
They're serving no purpose there.
No, this is Vietnam was more of a purpose than this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think it practiced birth control down there and realized it didn't work with Malathion bomb, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. Total insanity. Leave them people alone. Let them deal with their own, you know, vibration and rising to whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
We have no business being there, period.
I agree. We never should have gone there in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't talk about, you know, I worked over there with the government on, you know, intelligence because I had to. I didn't want to. I was forced to. But the thing is, you know, people don't talk about the fissionable material that we use on our tank weapons. These coated radioactive coated tank things because it's extra hard. This spent uranium stuff that we use that hits a tank, blew their tank up, and then all the kids go out and play.
Yeah.
And you should go on the internet and look at all the kids that are dying from radiation in Iraq.
We've gave the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
And I say that facetiously.
You don't see all the innocent people. They could have taken Saddam Hussein out. Hello. We got a group called Action that works for the CIA. Action, ACTION. They go in, he'd have been gone. They didn't want him gone.
Absolutely.
And what happened to the Iraqi money? You know that the Iraqi money from their oil wells, Iraq is the richest oil nation in the world, could have paid for Katrina. But no, we're not paying for Katrina. We're going to borrow it from the Chinese.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, we already know that, you know, we have this elite group that's trying to destroy America.
Yeah.
What better way do you do this? You destroy their military might and then their economic might, and you've taken a great nation down.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, if a moron could sit back and figure out what's going on.
Hey, what do you think about, you know, the Tamiflu killing 13 kids now with that
Cyclohexane
PCP angel dust component?
Well,
what do you think about that?
Did you see today that Japan's going to do a full investigation on this Tamiflu that Mr. Rumsfeld has all of his, investments in?
Yeah, I know. It's about time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, Rumsfeld, anything that he touches, run from.
A few weeks ago, we talked about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, my other question, Dr. Bell, is why is it? I mean, I have my own speculations here. Why is it that the governments have went around and have secured by putting their military bases or, you know, a special ops around all our vortexes and stargates around this planet?
No, they're also doing it underground.
I know. Well, why have they done this?
Because
is it to keep those like you and myself away from them?
No, the ETs that are guiding them, the negative grays, feed on that energy. They have to have it. And they have to go underground because they can't breathe our oxygen. That's why they're closing all the surface bases.
Because they're going under, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going underground. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They want to. I don't think they want to outgas the planet like Mars did. But as long as they keep spraying, you know, keep putting that ethylene bromide in the fuel and releasing it out of the jet planes and stuff, they're killing people. You know, bromide is very poisonous.
You're talking about chemtrails, right?
That's what they're spraying the atmosphere with right now. I don't know. The first thing I learned. All you listeners out there, you might have taken chemistry. My high school chemistry class, the first thing it taught me is my teacher took me over to a flask in the chemical case. It was locked up. And that flask was sealed up, and that flask was inside of another flask sealed up. Mm-hmm. And I asked my science teacher, his name was Mr. Self. I said, Mr. Self, why is bromine in two flasks? And he said, because it's so deadly to the human body that it might leak out a little bit in the room and make all you students sick. We just want
you
to show you how dangerous it is. We're not going
to
work with bromide. And
you
so guess what?
Kidding.
JP9 or whatever it is now, ethylene bromine. Bromide.
And
then spraying the place with it, you know?
Whoa.
Contrails, chemtrails. Yeah.
Well, this is part of their Agenda 21.
And check this out. They put it in gas. It's tetroethane in gasoline.
You mean the gas
we use
in our cars?
Forever. And it's going in the water now. And the water will be dead forever. Yeah. You put bromine in your water, it's never going to be any good. Radioactivity wears off in 2,000 years. Bromine is there permanently.
Don't they use that in, like, hot tubs of bromine or bromide? It's the new... maybe you can help me out here, but I remember I had a hot tub and they said stick bromine or bromine into it or something for alkalinity or pH.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, they're bringing it out now. Like I say, bromide is the most deadly of all the chemicals out there. Last time I checked my chemistry, bromide was the worst of anything that there is. Maybe sodium.
Why are they putting it, Dr.
But I mean, bromide was the worst.
What do you see as their long-term objective here?
To
depopulation?
It's called the Haig-Kissinger depopulation problem.
Depopulation, yeah.
Yeah, and that was what. And then look how many years Lyndon LaRoche spent in jail.
Yes.
For
trying
to
expose him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they just, well, you know, he's lucky to still be alive, huh?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when they get put away, well, trafficking's another example.
Yeah, I just typed in bromide, methyl bromide research.
Yeah.
From a private website, the United States Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
The page is currently unavailable.
Of course they
but
do.
As we speak.
Think of the insanity of the plan when you look at the population the way it is today and how they've tried to depopulate. Look at how many people are and where the money's going. And, I mean, the insanity of whoever put the plan together. I mean, if they were going to depopulate us, they could have done it in a much smoother way. But, I mean, the insanity of it just led to such a foolish plan.
Well, it's out of control.
But Don, they're poisoned. These people are already dead anyway. You got a bunch of dead people trying to eradicate their own kind. So they're making stupid choices. We would do it we would succeed if we were going to do it. We're not going to do it, but we could do it. We could pull it off. They can't pull it off. That's because you know the God consciousness is kind of on our side. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Like Don and I, if we decided to be bank robbers, we'd pull some of the biggest jobs, and we'd never get caught. Would we, Don? We'd be good at it.
Well, when I was studying Buddhism, they always told me, whatever it is you're going to do, be the best at it.
Exactly. That's being spiritual.
That's right. Whatever it is you were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bell. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for being my 14th listener, and I want you to turn your computer off and go to bed now. I don't want you to listen to any more of this show. You've had enough.
I'm addicted. I have to
listen.
That's
the problem, and then you're going to have to go take Prozac, and I don't want to be responsible.
I don't think so.
Yeah. You'd be a Valium.
I really don't think so.
I listen to Dr. Bell, and now I got to take Valium. Yeah, I have heard that before. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Have a good evening, dear.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. You know what I like about her, Don? She never laughs.
I know.
Very sarcastic woman.
Very droll.
Yeah. No, she's great. But see what happens to my 14 listeners? You can't listen to too much of them, or you end up like her. You're just going to go crazy. You're going to have... She's probably taking a pill right now and knocking herself out because she's not going to turn that radio off, you know, or that computer off. This is not going to happen. And I don't want to get in trouble, you know. Are we done now? Is there any more questions coming in? Or?
Yeah, we have a Barry online.
Okay, hi, Barry.
We're going to put him on.
Okay.
Dr. Bell.
Hi, where are you calling from, Barry?
I'm calling from Edmonton, Canada.
Oh, Edmonton.
Edmonton, where the weather is getting crazy up here.
How's your A's and stuff doing? You got some good A's for me?
Pardon me?
You got some A's going for me? I want to hear some Canadian. I love that language.
Hey, things are happening, eh?
Yeah, you guys have some. I'll send Pamela Anderson over next because she's from Canada.
Absolutely. We got some great talent up here, too.
Yeah,
for
my
sure.
friend Dan Aykroyd, he's from there. I love
Dan Aykroyd,
he's a great friend of mine. Yeah.
Yep.
He makes me laugh.
Dan is a funny man.
He is. And he's a funny guy.
And Dr. Bell is burning my brain tonight again.
Oh, I didn't mean to. What number are you? Are you like number 8 or 7 or what?
Oh, I think that was the first. I think that was the first.
You know, you might not be allowed to listen to next week's show or something, you know?
I think I was the first listener on here and still going hard.
Yeah, all right, what kind of tranquilizers are you on now? How do you get to sleep at night?
I don't sleep much anymore, and I, especially since starting to listen to Coast to Coast when I first heard you on there.
Yeah, so you were one of them people that went insane early. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's just getting worse and worse here.
I know, we have real problems here. Don is a complete wreck over there. He has to talk to me every day.
He's on the 24-hour system, is he?
Yeah, he's got it. I bought him a straitjacket for Christmas. He hasn't got it yet. It's coming, though. You get your straitjacket? Yeah, I got you a pink one, Don. Did you like pink?
I got something pink in the mail today.
That was good. Yeah, that was what you were supposed to get. Did you like it?
It fits.
All right. I won't ask what it was.
So, right, Fred,
why did you have those flowers embroidered on it?
Well, because I thought you needed them.
I thought we agreed on tulips.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. You know, I don't always, I'm not very good at keeping my word. You know, I think next thing you're going to get green. I'm green. All right, so Barry, what's your question tonight?
What a hoot. Listen, I picked up a Silver Dome pyramid a while back.
Yeah, so a Power Dome?
A Power Dome.
Yeah.
The silver one.
I got one right now, I think. Yeah, Silver Power Dome is what I'm wearing. Yeah.
I'm wearing it right now. I was just wondering what the, is it normal to have the burn marks on the...
Yeah, that's very normal. Does yours have them?
Pardon me?
Does yours have them?
It does.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's the heat process to make the metals breathe.
It's
called the orgone heating process.
Okay, and what about the green?
If you listeners out there got one that don't have the burn marks, send it back, and I'll fix it for you because they didn't work right. Yeah.
It's not right there. What about the green buildup on the rods? What's happening there?
That's just the green energy, thyroid, third ray, Holy Ghost. It's normal.
Okay. Now,
the copper ones show it up more, and depends on your aura frequency, and that's probably you're more predominantly green in your aura. That's
okay,
why it's showing up like that.
And describe what the green in the aura means.
Well, it means that you got a lot of activity in your thyroid gland. That's female energy, and it also means that you're probably going through monetary changes. There's all kinds of things that go on.
I'm sorry, that's female energy.
Yeah, it is. Women.
I guess you're happy to hear that.
Yeah. Hey, Don, you haven't posted that show from Tuesday night yet, right?
No, I'm going to get to all the...
Because I have a real... What he's asking is on that show, what I did with Jim over there at K-Fox in my old show, I've got a half an hour about the Holy Ghost and money and green energy and how to bring it to you and all that kind of stuff and the green aura. I did a whole show on that. You got 30 minutes. That when you get it,
yeah,
chance, Barry,
I'll have it posted by tomorrow.
Because it's got a lot of what you're asking way better than I'm doing tonight with it, because I was really into it then, you know. I was learning it and studying. Sannyasi was basically teaching me at the time that I did that show.
Is that... Did you mention that show is not posted yet?
It will be.
It'll be posted by tomorrow.
Yeah,
by tomorrow.
It's a good show for that.
Fantastic. Yeah.
A lot of the old shows that I did back in the 80s, we're putting them up now. I'm kind of redoing them. I mean, they're there, and I'm making commentary as it goes along. It's kind of cool what we're doing with them, because all that stuff needs to be run. That was back when I was learning from her, and I forgot a lot of that stuff, and it was stuff that was 20 years ago that needs to be brought out now. And the fact that it came out 20 years ago gives a great meaning to me anyway in the present, because it gives me some kind of reference point that what she was telling me. It's fun to see it all actually manifesting, you know?
You're having flashbacks now, are you?
Yeah, from the radio show. I'm actually playing them too. They're so intense, they're on tape.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Shows. I listened to one of those. Yeah, fantastic show.
Yeah, those were good shows. I had a huge audience back then. I did a half an hour show 5 days a week on K-Fox in Southern California, and I had the whole area listening to me. It was fun. The shows today are probably more fun, but I'm bringing a lot of that back so we can create...
but now you only got 13 listeners.
Well, I got 13 listeners now, but they're good listeners. They're so good that they over-listen, you know. And well, I got 14, but hopefully, you know, that she shut her, the Smoky Mountains listener there, special lady back there, got her radio turned off now. I'm sure she went to bed like she was told to. So.
Do you have another seminar coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, it's on the website. You need to sign up for it. May.
Okay.
You want to? Were you at the last one?
No, I was not.
Oh, you missed out. It was a good one.
You know, we're going to...
Stargate didn't open. It did tonight.
You know, I was hoping that we could talk about maybe broadcasting live from your... seminar.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
They won't get
That's
the visuals because I use a point, one of those point programs from the computer, but...
We can always tell them the visual.
Yeah, there we go. You can give them a drawing or something on what we're doing. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the Palladian contacts that you've had with Sannyasi, is this the same contact that Billy Myers has had?
Right. Yeah, his contact with her started in 1975. Mine started in 1971.
And what were the different what were the purposes of contacting both of you?
I don't know what she had going with him. I thought it was kind of neat because she got me to write my book, my first book, Death of Ignorance, and it was really interesting because I drew pictures of her, and I had another friend of mine. We had a group in those days, and one of the guys was a sitar player. He played with, he was a student of Ravi Shankar's.
Right.
Very high. He was very great. He used to play, he stayed with me in my house, and I'd get up in the morning at 6 o'clock, and back when I used to go to bed at a normal time, and it was
Ravi
over
Shankar.
In the other house in Laguna, the house where she came to, and beautiful view, and incense would be burning, and this guy would be sitting in my living room playing a sitar. So I'd wake up to live sitar music. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was. And he,
I love Ravi Shankar.
Yeah, he wrote a song called Don't Bogart the Joint.
He wrote that.
It was a very famous song. Frank Zappa made a thing out of it. Yeah.
Yep.
He also got the same visions of her. So when she came to me, I actually saw her for the first time. It was in 1971. I think it was April or May. I had a drawing of her, a beautiful drawing, which is hanging on my wall, which will probably be on national TV because they just photographed it tonight. And it was really interesting because Billy Meyer did a drawing of her when he saw her in 1975, a very nice drawing that he did.
Right.
Somebody did it for him, but when you put the two drawings together, it's the same person. It's really neat. And so they both hang on the wall, his and mine. And anybody sees them say that's the same person.
I recall somewhere in his communications that Semyonovsky mentioned using copper for pyramids. What's your take on that?
Copper is not good. We tried it. People have too much copper in their body, and it makes them go crazy. They'll eventually go insane using copper. We use it in one pyramid only. We use a small amount in one called a fire dome. And the reason we use it in the fire dome is for people with arthritis. It creates a field on the body that gets rid of arthritis. Arthritis cannot survive in the field that the copper pyramid produces. In a bracelet, the Japanese had good luck with it, but in a pyramid, it's far more effective. It also changes color. It's the one pyramid that we make that will become the color of your aura, and it's beautiful to watch it because if you wear it every day, it changes color.
Sweet.
It stimulates the adrenal tremendously. It causes large amounts of production of norepinephrine and epinephrine in the body. It's a very nice pyramid, and it's called a fire dome. It's not very expensive, and it works very well. But not a spiritual one. It's a physical body trip, and it's a physical thing, and it's made one thing. People with arthritis or low energy.
Right.
And it also detoxes, too. But it's not one that you would wear for writing a book or something. It completely doesn't work there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any outdoor pyramids at your property?
Yeah, these are pyramids. We have a lot of them. All of the ones that we make are used outdoors.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what materials would you use in building, say,
we
a
use
large
steel and enamel.
Pardon me?
Steel and enamel.
Enamel
coating on them. Otherwise, they'll rust.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just order them. We have them here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still, your book, The Promise, that's been on back order?
The back order. The Promise is a story, those of you that have never heard of it. It's a story of myself and Semyonovsky that was written by Brad Steiger. It's supposed to go into a movie. I've got a movie script for it here.
Cool.
And it's a story of my past life and this life mixed together, except in the story, my past life is played out by my father, my dad, but it was really me. But to make the story work, they used him. And it's about two-thirds true, and it's actually, there's a lot more truth that's not even in the book.
So it's written as a novel, then?
Yeah, it's novelized. It's been selling in Japan for I don't know how many years now. It was a bestseller over there for 7 or 8 years.
Is that right?
They sell hundreds of thousands of those things there. Yeah, Toku Publishing Company. T-O-K-U.
Is that book?
If you read Japanese, you can get it in Japanese. And I think you can still get it in German. We just don't have it in English.
Okay,
we'll eventually we'll come out with it again. It really tells the story of the receptor and how it came here. The receptor was back in the Third Reich. We had the technology there.
Right.
But we took it. Hitler wanted it, but we hid it from him. Ended up getting me killed, and the whole story is in that book.
Fascinating. When's the book going to be available again?
Huh?
When is
the
book going to be available?
It's going to be available. I don't know. It had so many errors, typos in it that I've had it redone twice now, and hopefully it'll be out again pretty soon.
Okay.
But I've had so much other things to do with this projector technology, and I also want to start building the X1 now. So I've had too many sidetracks. Don, he needs a lot more help. I need a lot more help. But I need people that function. Unfortunately, where I live in this town, there aren't too many functional souls here. They're all pretty screwed up around here. People don't last long. They aren't coherent or they're not interested, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of zombies up around here, too.
Yeah, they're everywhere now.
Yep. The X1 machine, is that the healing machine you're referring to?
Yeah, I want to build one of those now, a prototype.
Fascinating. How do I become a distributor of products, Dr. Bell?
Just call Mitch up.
Mitch?
Mitch. Yeah, the 800 number is 1-800-729-2603. It works in Canada.
Okay.
And just call him up, and he's in charge of distributors. We got a guy up there in your backyard, Tom Nervous.
Oh, yeah, where's he at?
He's up there in Calgary or Edmonton. I forget. I think he's in Edmonton. Mitch would be.
Yeah.
He's doing a seminar, by the way, in a day or two.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's been on TV up there and everything. Yeah, call
great
Mitch
stuff
up on Monday morning, early Monday morning. He'll be in, and he'll help you out.
Yeah, I'll do that, and I look forward to attending your seminar coming up.
Yeah,
and,
get signed up for that. You get a lower rate now, but it fills up fast. If I do another couple shows with Smart Bell shows, it's going to be sold out. I'm limited in the size of what I can have in those rooms down there.
Is that down in Laguna?
Yeah, it's in Laguna in this beautiful oasis called the Aliso Creek Inn. If you click on our website, you'll see the beautiful rooms and everything that you can get, and if you have your own stove and everything in there. It's really nice.
Okay, thanks a lot, Fred. Keep on trucking.
Okay, take it easy.
All right.
Bye, Barry.
You too. Bye.
Well, Don, that was quite a show tonight, huh?
I'm telling you, I love it.
Yeah, any more callers, or can we quit now? My one-hour show is 2 hours, and it's going to burn out brains.
That's right.
I can't stand it when people's brains get. He's going to be smoking down there in the Tennessee mountains and set the place on fire.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a little quiet here now, so...
Well, it'll just quit, then.
We'll give it another 15 seconds, and nobody phones in. We're good.
Yeah, that's good. We'll go ahead and play some Dr. Bell music on.
I can do that.
Yeah, I'll listen to it for a while.
Okay.
And by the way, I got to hear about a half an hour of your show before me.
Oh, we spoke too soon.
You got a phone?
Should I answer it? The question is, should I answer it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
We got any more phone calls, or we're going to close the show down. I don't have one scheduled for next week, but I will have my Tuesday show.
Hi, can you hear me, Dr. Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. This is Richard in San Antonio, Texas. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Is this your first? Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am. I've been to your website a number of times, but I've never been able to get on these shows.
Oh, okay. Glad you got in tonight. I don't know.
Has it been busy the entire time you tried?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Don's getting more equipment.
my question is...
about to do television, too. I mean, it's going to get worse. But that's okay.
I'm going to have to bring in 10, 20 more lines, I think.
Yeah, you're going to need more lines.
I have a couple questions, if I may.
Go ahead.
The first, you were speaking that the nuclear receptor basically, if I understood you correctly, rebuilds your body. A number of years ago, I was in a pretty brutal car wreck, and I have a 20% compression fracture of T5, my vertebra, and there's a bunch of scar tissue there.
Right.
Will wearing a receptor over time do anything?
Yeah, it'll help a lot. It'll help a lot. Also, you need to go with that. You need a gold power dome. Okay, you'll see it on my website. I don't know if I've got the testimonials up for that, but anterior damage and spinal cord injuries, we've had great luck with the Power Dome series. I've got a testimonial from a doctor in New York University who personally was partially paralyzed from anterior spinal surgery until he wore one of my pyramids. It was the gold Power Dome. That's what I would recommend for what you've got, you know, to actually make the injury kind of less. Reduce the scar tissue. You would need to call in during the week and talk to Mikkel, Mikelle, and she would recommend the oil formulas and some of the other stuff that would go with the Power Dome. She's very much on top of, reproduction, synovial fluid damage, those kinds of things. The receptor for you, I don't know. How are you, a real high energy person, or are you a low energy person? What are you?
Well, everybody tells me I don't shut up, so I guess I'll say that I'm a high energy person.
Okay, so you're typically, you might have stiff shoulders and you're tense.
Yeah.
Okay, and are you, how's your weight? Are you weight-wise, are you normal? Are you underweight, overweight, average?
I'd say I'm probably normal.
Normal? Okay, and how tall are you?
Well, a little over 5'9 before the accident. Now I'm just slightly, I'm just about 5'9.
Okay, so you dropped a little bit. And what, this has nothing to do with it, too. What birth sign and what's your star sign? It just tells me a little about your personality. What sign are you?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay, fire sign. Okay. I would get somebody to test you, but that kind of damage, I don't know. I'd almost say that I would go possibly with something like green, like an emerald.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because if you're going to, you would want to, the first thing I would recommend, and remember your body's going to heal itself, the first thing I recommend is the gold power dome. Okay, that's the very first thing that I would be using for what you're talking about. Then the oil. And then I would use and the reason that we're going to use a green stone, the emerald, is because you need to probably get rid of some scar tissue there. And so the thyroid will do some calcium manufacturing and manipulation in your body. So the emerald would probably be the one that you would want to use along with the power dome. And later on, when you see that you actually... Don't you get pain there now?
Depending on if a cold front's coming through or if I do any kind of manual labor, I get
pain.
That.
All right. Yeah, then you might, you probably would graduate to a ruby pretty fast, but I would definitely start out with the emerald for a year, because those kind of injuries take a while. And you're going to get some change there, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. You're going to get some serious change there, and it's going to be a little weird for you because probably nothing's worked up until now. And so it might get a little unpleasant at first because what happens is the electricity starts to go through there a little bit, and it becomes unpleasant not at that point of injury. It gets going to become unpleasant nearby because you probably have a deadening of some other nerves that you're not aware of, and they're going to come to life, and they're going to be a little painful. So you might experience pain in other parts of your body because you're coming back to life. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what's going to happen. And when that stops, when you don't experience new pains in other parts of your body that you didn't even know you had, then you switch over to the ruby. Because then you want to bring your aura back up. Because you probably lost some of your psychic powers. You probably lost some of your intuitional powers. This is just a fact of a collapsed nervous system. And I work with a group over here called High Hopes, and that's brain injuries. I do this as my one of my voluntary services things that I do. So I work with people with damaged spines every day when I'm over there and brains and things. And I know what it's like to get that part of your body functioning again. You are going to start waking up and more things are going to happen. So when that process slows down, then you want to switch over to another stone. That's going to take about a year.
When you're talking about switching over, can that be done on the gold-plated receptors?
No, you'll need to get a silver one for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would start off with a silver one because you really needed a high impact. And the silver one's not that much more money,
Okay.
Yeah, so I would start off with a silver one.
Okay. And
then get results, and then get my book, too. It explains a lot of the stuff. And by the way, the receptors, for all of you out there listening, the receptor comes with a 44-page booklet. It explains a lot of what I'm talking about. So it comes with a pretty informative little brochure that's part of the whole deal with it,
One of your other callers mentioned briefly and touched on you guys were talking about earth changes, and I've read Gordon Michael Scallion's book, and it seems to echo some of what you're talking. And I don't know if you know him or have read of him.
No, of him. Yeah, I probably. When I go on the lecture circuit with authors, I probably, his name is very familiar, probably even met him, but I never did really know him, no.
He believes in the massive earth changes coming to the earth and the reshaping of the continents and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his focus, he's got a map, and he's painted a pretty gloomy scenario for certainly North America, and basically he's saying everything from California through up into the Rocky Mountains will be submerged within the next several years in Florida and the East Coast. With what you know about Earth changes, what do you see? I know it's a loaded question, but what do you see happening, and do you have any ideas as a time frame?
I have a little different approach. My approach is that, you know, we're living here now. We're right in the present. We're being here now. Beyond my words and your thoughts and the listeners out there, all simultaneously working together, that simultaneous homogeneous effort that we're doing here in concert is the reality of what we believe in, and it's all there is. There's nothing beyond what we're doing right now. We're creating the next second. And it's like when I was talking about with the receptor earlier, your powers of perception of creating the next second might be a little bit dulled right now, and that's when I was talking about adding a ruby and getting a little bit more to light, and then adding a little bit more color in your receptor to get a little bit more to light. Well, when you do that, as long as I've done it and others like me have done it, what happens is we don't kind of get lost in the moments between time anymore. When you get lost in the moments between time, in concert with other people, in kind of like a ship that's got lost its course, what happens is your probability factor comes up, and energy follows thought. So if your probability factor comes up, you start to look out at the future because you're losing your ability to prevent an accident. And one of the accidents might be that you have allowed your planet to go into a prehistoric mode and disrupt itself. So what I do and what I believe is that, and this is me now, not anybody else, I believe I have enough control, at least while I'm in this world, to control my own probability of the future. And so the future, like if you were to get an HD time machine and go out, or you get it with Stimiasi and Billy Meyer and take a probable ride into the future, you're going out of the bubble of the now, and you're going out, and you can take a probability ride. You could go out 10 years in the future one day and you get one experience, and you can go out 10 days in the future, 10 years in the future on another day and have two different experiences, depending on how the ebb and flow is of the probability, the synchronicity of all the people that are losing their time factors. Because this falling through the cracks of time produces this thing, we call it the astral plane. So there's so much of that bleeding through that not only can that exist as a probability, a series of probabilities for the future, but you can actually animate that with disemboweled souls that haven't made it very high up into the higher reaches of consciousness and creation, and you can create this whole astral plane and animate it, and you can create gods there, and you can create all kinds of stuff. These gods can toss stuff back about your planet blowing up and all of that.
Can I read this from your book? It kind of states exactly what you're saying. You know, folks, Dr. Bell always tells me we make our own destiny, and the rest is for fools. And I love the words here. It's
go ahead and read it.
Prophecies are for the weak, who have lost their way in ignorance and sought history from a ship of fools who likewise lost their course and admitted defeat. So live in the now and create your own reality rather than riding in the wake of another, and give our prophets some time to sleep.
Yeah, I sort of wrote that. And what I was really saying is that I reached this point in my life where I can control earthquakes quite well. As a matter of fact, I even designed an earthquake detector. I'm looking at one of the sensors that's playing on the shelf over here. I haven't assembled it yet. This is, you know, I thought, well, I might put one of these together. I live in California. I've been able to know when earthquakes come, and I've been able to, with the help of some of my friends, stabilize this area out here, so it's pretty stable now. I've done a lot of research in the scientific side of it, and I've also learned how earthquakes are created from solar wind. So I have a pretty good solar background on this. And I know that as long as I am here and believing in what I believe, and I do have to steal a little energy from this. And where I steal the energy from is some of the incarnating souls, the children. And the way that these brilliant souls are coming in, these children that come here, they have the potential to be way more than I am, but they also have to have the breath and the width of life to gain that potential. We don't come here
with more than that, because we've chosen not to do that. So it takes these children to light up more bulbs than I'll ever light up, a shorter period of time that took me to light the first one. But the bottom line is, I steal energy from that fact, and so it gives me a power that's a little bit more powerful than any solar wind or any earthquake. So personally, I have no fear of any earthquake or any of these erupting changes while I'm here. And motivated, you know, my motivation and my power comes from the next generation, allowing them a nice space. So as long as my influence is here, the way I see it, it's not going to happen. Hopefully this will spread. You know, there's good money in making prophecies, because there's always the following that are negative. I've never been much of a negative prophet. However, when I see chemistry going out, like in the Tamiflu virus, I guess you could call me a negative prophet, because I know when you poison somebody, they're going to die, you know? That's pretty much, they're going to lose their bodies, and that's pretty obvious. So the evidence is not, to me, a prophecy. It's just a management thing of what goes on in our society. So that's about as far as I'll stretch a negative prediction.
Okay, and I appreciate that. I have one last question. I know you said that Don, you're going to put up the show on the green energy and the thing you were talking about with the money, but relative, and I didn't hear that, so this might answer that in that other show. But you referenced a couple times that green energy is the Holy Spirit, and I myself am not Christian. I'm Jewish, and I'm sure there's people in Asia that are Taoists or Buddhists or whatnot that have your devices. So what does that have to do with the overall picture relative to religion? Because I'm not clear.
Yeah, I'll answer that. That's a good question. My grandfather's Jewish. His name is Heckman, by the way. German Jew.
You're from Detroit, right?
Ann Arbor. But he was from
Well,
my grandfather came from Germany. He ran away from Hitler. He was in Hitler's Third Reich. He wasn't part of it. He ran. But his name was Heckman. But anyway, what it has to do is this. It's a yin and yang. If you look at yin and yang, it's the female energy. I said Holy Ghost for the people that absorb it that way. Some people won't. If you're a Muslim, for example, you just know it as the yang, or you know, the Muhammad energy. It's not the Muhammad. It's the opposite of that. It's the yin energy. It's the female force. So look at the third ray as the female force. It balances the male force, and just take religion out of the equation, and you have the straight answer.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll hear, and I apologize for this, but I'm so used to talking to ethnic, multi-ethnic, atheist, you know, groups, every kind of group. I have been all over the world, so I have a tendency to bring up terminology to kind of throw it in the mix. And when somebody doesn't quite get the terminology, then I will clarify it. So you
okay.
Know.
And last, it's an off-the-wall crazy question. What would happen if you put one of those receptors on a dog?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what will happen. I have a crazy group up in Pine Mountain, and I normally in our meditation systems we'll use 4 to 7 irradiators. You'll see it when you go on our website and read my books. This group is a little out there. They had a 34 irradiator system. They're fanatics. Most people like a crystal that's maybe 50 or 60 pounds. They got them 300 pounds. These people are fanatics. They really go all out. They have a dog. It's St. Bernard and something else. This is a big dog. And this dog had some digestive problems. And so they put a brown topaz on the dog, a receptor, a silver receptor with a strap around it. And they put that dog is a friendly dog. You try to take that receptor off of that dog, and that friendly dog will bite you. You pet the dog. You know, he's a nice dog. He'll give you a lick and just a great big hug and everything. You reach down there. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. You start reaching around his neck. And as I come around his neck, right down there by that receptor, he starts to growl. And the closer your hand gets to that receptor, the bigger the growl gets. And I never got to touch the receptor because I figured he'd bite me. But I'm talking about the warmest, friendliest dog on the planet. Until you start to ease your hand down there where that receptor is, you don't want to mess with that dog. So that told me dogs like them. At least this dog did. And I've had a few other people put them on their dogs for different health problems, just like humans. And so they seem to like them quite well. And cats like them too. But cats, however, are a little bit funny about having things that heavy around their neck.
dogs really like, at least dogs really get into them, but you got to make sure you got the right one on your dog, you know. So to answer your question, they love them, as far as I
know. Well, I appreciate your time, and I certainly learned a lot, and I'll hang up and let another caller call in.
Oh, yeah, it's great having you. And so call in again and listen to our show.
You bet. Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, Don?
Yeah.
I asked these people, they're one of my distributors. I said, you know, because this dog, they bought a silver receptor. It's about a $600 receptor they bought for him. It's a really nice one. And when I went up there, I asked him the same question he asked me, does that dog really like that thing? And they said, why don't you pet the dog? Because I petted him lots of times before he had a receptor. I could pet him anywhere. This is a big, nice dog. You know, he's a great old guy, you know, an older dog. And it's the funniest thing. You know, I start easing my hand around his neck to get that receptor. And that growl starts. And the closer I get to that receptor, the worse I swear to God, that dog's going to bite me. And he wouldn't have bitten me if I had touched him anywhere on his body before he had his receptor. But that's the way the animals are. You know, when they're connected to something, you're going to get an emotional response. That's why you didn't take that receptor off. That's a true story. As far as I know, that dog's wearing that receptor tonight, you know. And the dogs like him. And that was hilarious, you know. Okay, are we done now?
I think we've cleaned them up.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'll give you a call in a little while. We'll go over some of this other stuff, and I'm going to take a little break. I haven't eaten yet today. What is it? It's 9, 10 o'clock out here in California. I forgot to eat today. So I think I'll eat something, and I'll be up later.
I'll do the same, and I'll be here a little later.
Okay. And you listeners out there, all 14 of you, thank you very much for listening, and we'll put some Dr. Bell music on now. Check our website out. We have a 2-for-1 special going. Call our 800 number. It's 1-800-729-2603. And listen to my Tuesday night show. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.